Blog Talk Radio. Exposed.
Mike Key.
it. Hold it.
Yeah.
stage of the sounds of DJ Mike Q.
DJ Mike Q.
Thank you. Carolina People's Choice Ball, Saturday, February 8th, 2014, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Grand prize, $1,500. Butch Queen Schoolboy versus Pretty Boy Realness. Grand prize number two, $1,000 for Female Figure Runway. $500 mini grants include Open to All Best Dress, Female Figure Face, Butch Queen European versus All-American Runway, Butch Queen Legendary Performance, and many more $250 cash categories. Over $6,000 will be awarded on this night as we honor the fans' favorite and recognize the people's choice. Again, that's Saturday, February 8th, 2014 in North Carolina. Admission, $30 all night. $200, seat 10 with refreshments. Available for advance purchase only. Your commentators, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi. Your DJ, Bonalore St. Laurent. For more information, contact Overall Father Dede Khan, Chicken Ebony, or Marcus Escada, or see the Facebook event page at Carolina People's Choice Ball. See you there. Legendary Runway Ruler, Father Warren Milan presents Frostbitten, Sunday, December 15th in downtown Miami. Grand prize, Open to All European Runway for $1,000. The Bloody Walk, come tastefully done, vamped out with a devastating walk, bringing complete pandemonium to the runway. Don't forget an over intro. Mini grand number one, Twisters versus Sisters, $150 plus a $10 pot. Twilight, Team Edward for the Twisters versus Team Jacob for the Sisters. Mini grand number two, Butch Queen Realness, $150, from Daybreakers to Nightwalkers. Part one, we want to see you come out as a boy or a man. Part two, bring back that sophisticated lady of the night. Mini grand number three, Open to All Identity Theft, for $100. The Craft, bring to life one of your favorite ballroom personalities. Mini grand number four, Open to All Lip Sync Performance, for $100. Bringing down the house, showcasing your gospel of choice. Again, that's the Frostbitten Ball, presented by Father Warren Milan, downtown Miami, Florida, on Sunday, December 15th. Your commentator, JP Milan. Doors open at 10 p.m. LSS will begin promptly at 12 midnight. $25 before 11, $30 after. For more information, contact Warren Milan on Facebook or visit the event page, Sunday, December 15th, the Frostbitten Ball.
name. You can suck a dick, I'm all about fame. Fuck a nigga, fuck a bitch, straight getting paid. I love money, that's all I gotta say.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the State of Emergency Show. I am your host, The Doll. What the fuck is up with everybody being a fucking doll this week? I don't get it. A lot of people can't be dolls. I don't understand what's happening with these dolls and things of that sort. I mean, come on now. Everybody wants to be a doll. The question should be, what kind of doll? Because, you know, there's many type of dolls out there. So what kind of doll are you? What type of doll are you trying to represent? Oh, someone said they're a Thundercat. That's the type of doll you are, Thundercat? Or would you say a G.I. Joe? Or one of those wrestling action figures? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the State of Emergency Show. It is December the 11th, and it is Wednesday. And my God, the way American Horror Story ended tonight. Oh. And we don't get to see her again until January 8th. My God. That was a lot that happened. American Horror Story really gave it to me tonight. But we will talk about that a little later. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Scandal, because the way Scandal ended last week was a mess. Oh, my God, that ending right there on Scandal was classic. And you already know that tomorrow night on Scandal, it is going to be everything. Scandal and American Horror Story, one of the two, those are the two shows that I have to watch while it's on the air. I can't stand the little commercials that are playing while they come on. Oh, my God, I just want to press forward. But unfortunately, you can't. Ugh, it's just so fucking crazy. Shout out to Jasmine Couture, where after all these years, y'all still talk about my $5,000 balls. Like, y'all still bring up these categories that took place. No matter if y'all liked them or not, they're still in y'all head. Amazing. And y'all bitches don't like me. Oh, well, Chanel. So, tonight we are going to be talking about a few different things, and it may turn into a two-part series because there's a lot of stuff that I do want to bring up. I'm calling tonight's show The Breaking Point. We all have a breaking point, and some of it is just out of control. Some of it is horrible. There are so many things out there on a serious note that a lot of people are facing. People are hurting themselves. People are just giving up. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it no more. They're giving up. People are committing suicide. And we're in a season now where suicide is high. This season right here, the holiday season is, if I'm not mistaken, the season where the numbers are high on suicide rate. People just can't handle the depression, the holiday spirit, being alone, things of that sort, missing loved ones. You know, when you're in a season where you see people uniting and shopping and exchanging gifts and singing Christmas lullabies or hymns or whatever you call them, and you're depressed or you're stressed out or you can't handle it. A lot of people are just, they can't handle it. And then you have those breaking points where a person just snaps and they start fighting and attacking and even killing people, killing each other. I mean, it's just a mess. So I want to talk about breaking points. A lot of stuff took place this week. I was kind of out of the loop I wasn't really, you know, in it, but, you know, a lot of people were feeding me back all the information and feeding me the information, and there was a lot of things that I was hearing about. And I'm not going to do a recap of it, but, you know, a lot of them had to do with breaking points. You know, when somebody can't take it no more, when they're on that runway and they can't take it no more and they just snap and they jump up and, you know, go up to the judges' panel and things of that sort and, you know, the judges, you know, all that stuff that happened with all that and all this vindictive, you know, chops and I don't know what really happened, and I'm not here to really recap on what happened, but it's just that point where people just can't take it no more, and it just starts getting out of control. Like, enough is enough of this shit. I'm tired of you doing this to me, and this is what I'm going to do. And they snap, they fight, they attack. You know, come on. And then we have these things that we're seeing about people's information being posted in social media, be it pictures of themselves, bad pictures that people have gotten of them, or a bad situation, or a bad look, a bad position, and they're getting posted. And then everyone's laughing and attacking and things of that sort. And when that starts happening, you know, those people, some of them just really can't handle it anymore. And when is enough enough with that? You know, when is our laughter, laughing at these people or kicking at these people, you know, that, you know, when do we stop? And what are we doing to them? We may be pushing them into a corner that is, you know, going to allow, you know, not allow, but cause them to, you know, choose harm on themselves, to cause harm on themselves, things of that sort. So, you know, and all the reading and all the, it's just a lot. And this is not the season for all that. We all need to calm the fuck down. But we'll talk about that. Enough of me talking. We also will be having, hopefully, if he's not too busy, the legendary Father Warren Milan should be calling in tonight for the girls that will be in Florida going to the Frostbitten Ball. That is this weekend, Sunday, the day after my birthday. My birthday is Saturday. But that Sunday, December 15th, the Frostbitten Ball presented by Father Warren Milan, the legendary runway ruler. If you guys are going to be attending that ball, Warren will be on the line this evening to go over that ball, his categories, and things of that sort. Answering any questions that you may have, going into further detail about the grand prize, the runway grand prize, and, you know, he'll be on the air to get you guys together for that $1,000 open to all runway. So, if you guys have any questions on your look, the venue, the time, or anything like that, please feel free to call in and speak with the promoter himself. And he will be on the line to answer any questions for you. So, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Let me get to the guest, the panelist. Some numbers I recognize and some I don't, so you have to excuse me. I'm going to start from the top in the order that they have called in and work my way to the bottom. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm feeling good tonight, Jasmine.
Child, you sound like you had a drink or two.
No, it's just I finally got some good news. I don't have a
really?
Thyroid problem, so that's the one. That's the wonderful
oh,
thing.
Oh, my God. So you shouldn't have even brought that up. See, I told you the other day I was going to read you, but now you reminded me to read you. Go ahead. Tell everybody your good news so that I can read really quickly.
Okay. Well, everybody that cares knows that I made a promise to myself that I was going to start before the new web season started, that I was going to get back in the gym and all of that stuff because I didn't like how big I looked on camera. So I started going to the gym in, like, September or whatever, and my goal was that I wanted to be a certain weight by January, but I wasn't seeing the results. So after, like, a month and a half, I wasn't seeing the results. I was only losing, like, maybe a pound here, 2 pounds there. So I had to my doctor run some tests to see if I had a thyroid because I knew that they run in my family. So I had him run a thyroid and had him do the testosterone test to make sure all that stuff was working too. And I finally got my results back today, and I don't have a thyroid. And on top of that, I have actually lost 20 pounds.
Girl, here we go. Missing you for the shit. Girl.
Okay, I will show you, because I didn't even believe it. That was like all
you.
I've been eating, and I've lost 20 pounds. That's funny.
This bitch wants to complain all the time that I got a problem. I think I got thyroid problems. I think I got thyroid issues. I'm just going to go to the doctor and find out, because this don't make no sense. I go to the gym every day, and I'm not losing a pound. Okay. Jason, where you at the supermarket? What you buying? I'm about to make a pumpkin pie. Then I'm going to Starbucks, and I'm getting this big old frappuccino, whatever, some big-ass mess. Everything is him eating biscuits and pies and cakes and ice cream and whipped cream, but yet he's talking about I'm going to the gym and I can't lose a pound, and I think I got thyroid issues. No, bitch, you eat in every 5 fucking minutes. Now, bitch over here is going through what she going through, and these motherfuckers want to keep throwing food up in somebody's motherfucking face. Y'all need, I told y'all, leave me the fuck alone. And this bitch want to talk, now she want to say I lost 20 pounds.
Well, I'm happy you lost
20 pounds. I'm so happy you lost 20 pounds eating a motherfucking pumpkin pie. You know what I'm saying? Goodbye. I can't. Now they want to say they're losing 20 pounds eating pies and ice creams and biscuits and stuff. No. See, it's a fucking nightmare. Calvin, you are on the air, honey. And Calvin, another one that want to post pictures of big-ass breakfasts and stuff. Calvin, hey, Calvin.
Hey, Jasmine. How y'all doing? Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you, Calvin.
Not too much with the congratulations and shit. How are you, Calvin?
I'm a little upset that my queenie died, you know. But
you can't do that yet, Calvin.
Oh, shit.
The end of the show, Calvin. You don't spoil it for the girls.
Oh, my God, no.
Okay, well, I'm just, you know, how do I say goodbye? I'm done. That's all.
Oh, my God, no. I'm over it. I don't want to talk no more.
Oh, child, y'all know Misty on that show, honey. Ain't nobody dying if Misty around. Little Puerto Rican princess, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
How are you?
I'm doing good here in shopping. Hey, what's going on? I feel a little fierce, honey, because like that New York weather, honey, got me like a little sick. And mother, can you text me, please? Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'll text you. I forgot. You still there? I keep forgetting. You know, child. Ask Jason. I keep saying I need a personal. I just can't. I don't remember nothing. I can't even remember y'all numbers, honey. I go through a lot. Our Louisiana diva herself, Shamika, you're on the air.
Hey, y'all.
Hey,
Shamika.
Hey, Shamika. Shamika, I know you was jumping out of your seat over there watching American Horror Story.
Yeah, it took me, and then when I started banging around like, hey, bitch, my heart went to my bad patrol, bitch. I can't deal with that. That's my home.
I know, child. It's like
a
month,
this
right?
This is my favorite episode so far. This had me on edge from beginning to end.
Yeah, but I love the way they did it. But we'll talk about it. But I love the way they did that.
Yeah, it was not predictable. I loved it. It was not.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. Neither. I didn't see none of that coming.
None of it.
All the way from the West Coast, honey. Michi, you're on the air.
Good evening, ladies and gents.
Hi, Michi.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Jazzy.
How are you, Michi?
Wonderful. Congratulations, Jason's on that 20-pound loss.
Thank you, son.
Kind of 20 pounds she lost eating pumpkin pie and drinking Starbucks every day.
I don't drink it every day.
Jasmine. I want to give a big shout out to my PS4 with the camera connection. Thank you, Mar.
You got one now.
With the camera. I'll be waiting.
Really?
Do you have
really?
The camera, Jazz?
Do I have the camera?
Yeah, they have a camera.
Do I have the camera? I mean, seriously, the camera? Is that what we're is that what we're going to compare to now, cameras
you know,
and stuff?
Honey, I had the socket, honey. I mean, you still got one up for me. You still got the Xbox One. I don't have that. But that's fine. I still have my Xbox Connect.
Okay, yeah. This child right here, honey.
Ian Ms. Rahe, are you listening?
The girl's going to gang up on you and just jump you, Miss Fig, because you be carrying.
Okay.
They're just going to jump you. Keep it cute, honey. They're going to rob you over there, Miss Fig. They're going to jump over there and get you all the way in L.A.
No, I don't live in L.A. They can rob me all they want.
Oh my God!
The girls are complaining. Why do I have to wait till January 8th? Why do I have to wait till January 8th? Because any civilized person really would be doing something Christmas night and New Year's. I mean, really? I mean, next week they could have came on next week though. But you know,
yeah.
I'll wait for
remember?
Go ahead.
Bishop, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, y'all? You know, Jasmine, I believe they did that because the simple fact is that they want everybody, because they probably, you know, they probably going to do reruns, so they probably want everybody to get into the show that didn't get a chance to get into the show. And then on top of that, just like you said, who wants to see, who wants on Christmas night or on New Year's, who wants to look at TV?
Okay. I'll watch it.
Y'all know everything is taking a break right now. Those hoes want to go on vacation, and even the studios don't want to be sitting here playing no TV. You know the ratings are going to go down. But you know,
that was the ultimate
only
gag.
People that's watching the show. We ain't the only people, child.
That was the ultimate gag right there, though.
Yes, that was. Brian Versace, how are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm fine.
How are
you doing? Just laying in my bed listening to you, everybody, and that's about it. And had a long day today. Got to end about... about 2 hours ago from the shop, and just doing nothing but relaxing and listening.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and when we get to the topic, if you want to touch up on it, press one for me, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Brian. 347-735, you're on the air. Mm-hmm. 347-735. Well, sweetie, why are you not saying nothing? Okay, if you didn't want to say nothing because you were shy or something, you did press one, but maybe by accident. So press one again to take yourself out of the host queue. Oh, wow, we think we have a special guest tonight. Where have you been, Miss London? I'm not playing your intro. Miss London Bridge, how are you?
Hey, why not play my intro? Hello.
My oh, because the other hey, the girls have been playing your intro on Tuesday nights, and, you know, you haven't been around, I think.
Well, I don't have one, so I had to play something before we start the show.
Why not play Kelly's or mine? Why are you
playing
London's?
Why would I play Kelly's on Tuesday?
Why would you play London's?
Because London is on Tuesday.
Every time you come around my
lunch
in London Bridge.
I've never heard
that.
All right, there you go. The doll has made an appearance. The doll.
Yes, the doll.
Oh, that's why you're here, the doll. So, Miss London, when you say the doll, are you stretching your hand out and saying the doll?
Yeah, I'm giving my David the doll. Yay.
Hey, London, I just came back to my phone. How are you? I missed you.
Hey, Shamika, I miss you, too. I miss you guys. You know, Mother was trying to make her coin, you know, to keep up with the good look. Congrats on your weight loss, Prince Bridge. You know, you were 78 pounds when you were born.
Oh, shit.
That's a big-ass fake.
E.T., what the hell are you talking about? You weighed 80. That head alone was 80 pounds.
Yes,
it don't matter.
78 pounds and 2 ounces.
Yeah, Jason did steal London's intro. We're going to have to get new intros for the girls for 2014 because, you know, I don't like dealing with unorganization. And that's what it seems like.
You know,
and it also seems like you girls are really
girls
interested
like,
in... I'm sorry. Go ahead, London.
I'm sorry. I mean, the girls like to share clothes and share couches. Why not share intros?
Oh, shit. Not share clothes and couches. Here we go. Sorry. y'all really must be interested in tonight's show. I really thank everybody because it looks like the lines are getting kind of full. So I want to say thank you guys for listening and tuning in. And if you guys want to touch upon tonight's topic, please feel free to press 1. I'm going to ask you guys in advance because tonight's topic is very serious, and I'm still waiting for J-Rock. I know he said he wasn't going to call in. He needed to sit out, but then he said he was going to call in, so I am waiting for him. But if you guys are doing anything in your background, please adjust your phones because tonight can I really want to – I still want to have fun because it is the holiday season, and I don't want it to be, you know, too depressing or anything like that or too serious. But, yeah, I do want to touch up on a lot of stuff because a lot of things that I did see, you know, I just think they need to be addressed. So I will kind of start it off. Right now, and if, again, if you're doing something, please mute your phones, you guys that are on the phone, so I don't have to hear all that background noise.
Yeah, let me do my phone.
Okay. So right now, we're in a season where a lot of people that are out there may not really have, you know, someone in their life or that special person when, you know, the holiday season is around. As we know, like around Thanksgiving, there were some people that were kind of alone. They weren't doing anything for the season, you know, doing anything for the holiday for whatever reason. Maybe some of them are in school. Maybe some of them are away from their family. Maybe some of them don't have family or so. And here we go again with another holiday. And, you know, a lot of people start getting depressed around this time. With depression become, you know, when you're alone, you know that when you're alone, you do all you can do is think. You have a lot of things that's on your mind. You start dwelling on the past. You start, you know, feeling a lot of, you know, anger, regret, sorrow, things of that sort. And a lot of people can't really cope with things that, you know, they're dealing with day to day. It could be, you know, financial. It could be health. It could be relationship. It could be education. It could be anything. And a lot of people start getting to that point where they don't know how to take it no more. They can't handle it no more. That's what we call a breaking point. You know, that's where it just comes to the point where enough is enough. I don't think anybody can say what their breaking point is. I had a conversation earlier with someone about this, and, you know, she clearly said, we don't know when our breaking point is. We don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens, you know. And those breaking points cause people to do things that they usually would not do. And it also causes them to do things to try to cope with what they're, you know, feeling inside. One of those things that they do is like self-harm. And, you know, we know what self-harm is, when people do things to themselves for whatever reason. You know, they start banging on the wall, punching the wall, banging their head against the desk, cutting themselves, you know, harming themselves. We've seen, you know, issues where people cut themselves, burn themselves. You know, they do things to stick themselves with, you know, pins and stuff. It's like that's their way of dealing, causing pain on themselves for whatever reason. Maybe they're causing pain on themselves because they wish they can do it to the next person, but they can't. Or maybe they feel guilty for a reason, so they're harming themselves. You know, what does that say about a person? Do we call that mental illness? Do we call any of these things mental illness when a person harms themselves, if they have suicide thoughts or you know, people who just like to fight or attack or kill or you know, they just, states of depression, is that really mental illness? Are some of them mental illness? You know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. But what I am here to do is to talk, and to give people a platform to talk and let people share whatever they're going through, so they can, maybe they need somebody to listen to, or maybe we all are coping with something right now, or we're dealing with something and we need to be heard, or we want to share or something. That's what tonight's show is about. And we're just talking about breaking points. Are you at your breaking point? Are you where you're hurting yourself, or you feel like you're giving up, or you're having suicidal thoughts? Or are your breaking points causing you to attack and fight? And I put murder as last because it's like that's like the last resort. Like, what's going to happen next? Is it going to cause you to hurt somebody? Or is it going to cause, your actions going to cause somebody to hurt you? So that's what I really want to touch up on. So I'm going to just, you know, take the floor and let's talk, and we're going to go down the line with some of these things. I don't want nobody to jump off, you know, track or whatever, but right now I just want to talk about hurting yourself. Self-harm is what I want to talk about. It is now midnight, 12:04 a.m. I want to talk for the next couple of minutes or the next few minutes or whatever about hurting yourself. And it could be physically, it could be mentally, it can be emotionally. You are your worst enemy. You know, how are you hurting yourself in any way, form, or fashion? Or do you know of someone that has or is or did or whatever hurted themselves? Right now, we're talking about self-harm. Jason, you can go first.
I think I have friends that are self-hurting themselves with, like, drinking and drugging, but for whatever reasons they're doing it, they're their reasons, they're their demons, I guess that's how they choose to cope. I know that, I've never really self-hurt myself, but then I guess you can say we have, because, I mean, I've done things, there were times, when I just got into a state of depression when I really was in a state of depression because of the fact that I lost my mom then, and a couple of years, I lost my boyfriend. I did try to commit suicide. I did it, of course, the old white woman dramatic way, a bunch of pills and a bottle of wine, and it didn't work, thank God. But that was my breaking point. I was like, because it was just like those two people meant the world. At that time, I thought those two people meant the world to me. And without them, without my mother, and then without him, because he was the one that got me through losing my mother, without him, it was just, I didn't have anything else worth living for, because I really didn't deal with my family at that time. So that was my self hurt. But it's like now once you get past that, like with me and you talk probably, when you get past that and you get stronger, you realize that you know what, everything that you needed to heal yourself was within yourself. But you have to get to that point where you realize that.
Mhm. I got you. I understand that. Okay. Bishop, without making it long-winded, I'm giving you a chance again tonight. And don't say, like you said last week, honey, that you feel like you're the punching bag of the show. You're not the punching bag. You just be doing silly things. But go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Well, my breaking point was definitely when my father lost his leg. And then I got put up in responsibility I expect for him. Now, you know, I mean, I've had points where, you know, I've like, you know, I'm sick and tired of taking care of this man. You know, I want to put
so
him in a nursing
Bishop,
home.
Not to cut you off, Bishop, but we're talking about self-harm right now.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting to. Yeah.
Okay.
There's been a time where I wanted to, you know, hurt myself, and I did it the drug way. You know, I took 5 bags of cocaine to the head with big scoops of powder in my nose, putting it in my mouth also. Yeah. Because I couldn't cope with, you know, dealing with the responsibility of taking care of my dad and the responsibilities and had to go. I mean, you know, nobody is there for him. And, you know, it got to the point where if we take him to a nursing home, that's like a quick death. We all know, me and my mother, my brother, we all knew that it was a quick death for him. But my wake-up point was when, just like Jason said, it didn't work. It really didn't work. It made things actually much better for me. So I went to a religious aspect. I got humble and got down on my knees and started praying to God. And that's where I vented at. And I still do that now to vent. And that's what keeps me from getting to a breaking point now. And it has gotten better. So, you know, that's you know, my self-harm experience.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bishop. Calvin?
I guess with me, I've tried self-harm in more than one way. The very first way was, I guess you could call it binge eating. I did it because I was happy, did it because I was sad, did it because I was mad. Especially when I got really depressed, I used to stuff food down my throat like it was nothing just because I felt the way I did. I felt if I was already as big as I was, ain't no need for me to be here, so why listen to the doctors, why listen to my mother, why listen to my friends, and just to continue to eat. Then there was other ways I tried. Taking pills when I was at a young age. I tried slitting my own wrist. None of that worked. You know, I don't know if it was because, well, of course it was because of God, but it's just, I'm not a person that likes pain. I don't want to go through anything. You know, I've tried it several times just because sometimes it just gets to the point to where I feel like I just can't take it anymore. I feel like I can't take life. I feel like I can't take, you know, being this big. And I know everybody's going to be like, well, if you don't like being that big, then you change it. Well, honey, when you get to the point to where I was, it's pretty hard just to change it overnight. You know, there's some, like Jason said, you have to deal with it. You have to come to a point to where you realize that you have more to live for. And I'm not talking about your mom. I'm not talking about your boyfriend. I'm not talking about your sister or your nephews. You have yourself to live for. And once you get to that point, then nothing will make you want to hurt yourself. I mean, all I can say is like, just get to the point to where you love yourself enough to not want to market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Calvin. London. London.
I'm sorry, I was just talking away and that was muted.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, I cause self-hate by hurting the ones who love me the most. That might be a little too deep for right now, but, you know, I drink to cause self-hate, you know. I use drugs to cause self-hate. And, you know, that's about it. I know I used to work with someone who would, you know, be so depressed, and then one day I saw her arms and they were just so cut up. You know, I just had to be her friend because, you know, I thought that she was so lonely and so hurt. So
you knew someone who... You said they cut their arms and stuff?
Yeah, pretty badly. She wore, like, you know, those little headbands that the basketball players would wear. She wore them around her arms to work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I knew someone that was like that, too. Okay. But you said you personally dealt with some of the issues, you know, by drinking and, you know, doing certain things to, you know, to yourself. That's how you dealt with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Melissa.
I'm so, so sorry, everybody. Can you just skip me for right now because I'm checking out?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Let me know when you're ready.
All right.
Shamika? Shamika? Y'all be muting your phones and then y'all forget to mute them. Okay, Shamika? All right, Michi.
Yes. Good evening again.
We're talking about self-harm, like somebody hurting themselves.
Yeah, I know. It's just so many different angles with this because I've had two people that I care about go through this, but I also went through the same situation in 2000. But one thing somebody said to me was, and I was like, you know, I just didn't want to deal with the pain. I just wanted to just get away. He said, but you're taking your pain away and then leaving your family with the pain to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love your family, friends enough to hurt them? Or do you love them enough not to hurt them? Because when you hurt yourself, you're hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
If you take yourself out, you're leaving them with a pain to bear. And I know that because my little brother was killed, and it's been 18 years now, and still, I still sometimes face the pain of him being gone. I sometimes find myself sitting there saying, I wonder what would he be doing now if he was still here. But see, he didn't have a choice to be shot and killed. But you have a choice, but we have a choice to live and be able to deal with the pain and put our exercise, our faith, our trust, and our belief in God, and knowing that whatever we go through, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it may hit us, there's never going to put nothing on you more than we can bear. And we don't think about all that when we go through it. I didn't think about it. All the scriptures, all the faith, all the doctrine, everything goes out the window because all you have, you're just trying to just, it's like it just fills your head up. It's like a cup being placed under a fountain of water, and you just turn the water fountain on and leave the cup there and just let the water come, and it just starts flowing and flowing. All of a sudden, it's just overflowing, and you just forget about any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I survived because God had me under suicide watch.
That's good. That's a blessing that you're here. And it's a blessing that all you guys are here right now. Let me say that to each and every one of you that are on the air that just shared your story with us. You never know why you're still around. For everyone that attempted to hurt themselves, for everyone that felt like they were giving up. Giving up is pretty much in the same lines of what we were just talking about, because that was your breaking point. You just couldn't handle it no more. But for some reason, God kept each and every one of you around. And maybe because your voice needed to be heard, or because of what you were going through, you're able to help the next person that is going through the same thing. So you never know how things happen or what reason they're happening, you know, the reason that they happen for. So I just want to say thank you guys for all sharing with us. And I'm sure more people out there will share. And I know the people, because the numbers that are archived for this show are tremendously high. And I know a lot of people listen to the show, and it helps them to cope with it. So again, thank you for sharing what you guys just shared. When it comes to self-harm, hurting yourself, we can hurt ourselves in many ways, many, many ways. It can be physically, again, mentally, emotionally. We can be our worst enemy. We can do things to ourselves when we just kind of like don't care about ourselves, and we do the wrong things, like, you know, getting high, drinking, you know, overeating, not taking care of ourselves, anything like that. That's just, you're harming yourself. You're not taking care of yourself. It's like you just don't care. You gave up. And then when we just start physically abusing ourselves and you know, just kind of giving up all over, that is where the issue lies. One thing Michi did bring up is, somebody brought up, you know, well, if you do that to yourself, if you harm yourself, if you kill yourself or whatever, what about your family? What about the ones that love you? You're going to be, you know, you're going to be harming them. But on another hand, you know, that's true. But I think that at a time when a person goes through something, because I know I've went through this, you don't think about your family and the ones that love you, because you feel that sometimes the ones that love you and your family are not there for you. Because if they were there for you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. Mm-hmm. You feel that they don't understand you. They don't understand. And, you know, I can't talk to them because they're not going to understand what I'm going through. And not just family. It could be friends. It could be anybody. We all feel that what we are facing is something that we are facing. Either we have too much pride and we don't want to share it with no one, so we go through this alone, and we feel that no one is going to understand us. Mm-hmm. They are going to judge us. We're maybe too embarrassed to talk about it to anyone else. So we feel that we are so alone with this. A lot of us do have faith in God, but sometimes we feel at those points when we're, you know, at that breaking point, we feel that maybe God has given up on us, or God is maybe punishing me for a reason or something. That's what we start going through. Yeah. But you know what? Calvin hit it on the nose when he said we need to start loving ourselves. That is the first step. When you start loving yourself more and start realizing that, you know what, no shade to my family, no shade to my friends, no shade to anyone. I love me, and I don't give a fuck who loves me or not. I love me. Look in the mirror and find something about yourself that you love. Stop looking in the mirror and looking at your worst enemy. Stop allowing other people to dictate your future or control your emotions. We've said this time and time again in all these years, don't allow the next person to control how you feel or control what you're going through. It doesn't make any sense. That is where the problem lies when we go through this. We start thinking about all the negative stuff. We start hurting ourselves. Then we start giving up. We just can't take it no more. And I think all of us, let's be honest, because of our lifestyle, everyone that's a part of this show, because of our lifestyle, especially at a young age, we feel that no one is going to understand what we're going through, because 9 out of 10 in the beginning, we don't even understand what we're going through. We don't understand why we're feeling the way that we feel. We don't understand why we're different. We don't understand why no one is going to understand us, why no one understands us, why we're victimized and pointed fingers at and called names and judged and ridiculed and things of that sort. So we start, you know, secluding ourselves. When we seclude ourselves, we are by ourselves. We feel we're alone, and that's where a lot of this starts from. That's where a lot of this happens at. And then when we do have those one or two people in our lives that do understand, that do open their hearts and souls to us, and then, God forbid, we lose them or something happens to them, we feel like we're alone. Like, oh, my God, they were the only ones that understood me, and now they're gone. So it's a lot with it. So that's why we have to learn how to all stand up and start caring about ourselves and moving forward. And for all you young people that are out there right now, or even older, that still feel that you are alone, realize you're not alone, honey. Ain't none of y'all alone. We all, even me, each and every one of us, are still going through something. And we have to do our best to deal with it. And that is really the truth. And if we're boring you or I'm boring you with this topic, I really don't care. Bottom line is I'm helping somebody. Somebody's going through something right now, and I'm helping them. We are helping them.
Exactly. So, that's true.
Let me go to a couple of callers really quickly, because I do see a couple of lines and a couple of hands lit up. I don't know if they're pressing one by accident or not. But again, we are talking about self-harm right now, as well as giving up, because it's the same, pretty much in the same lines.
True.
347-735, you're on the air. 347-735. Honey, that's the second time you did that. Press 1 if you don't want to say nothing, or I'm going to hang up on you and make room for somebody else. 601-651, you're on the air.
Hey, what's good, everybody? This is Justin.
Hey.
Hey,
Justin. How you doing?
Justin.
I'm fine. I think what one common thread is what you everybody has kind of mentioned is being able to cope, and I think a lot of people do not have proper coping mechanisms to deal with a lot of stuff that goes on, especially in today's world. I don't know whether it's, you know, maybe how their home life was or whatever went on, but we just don't have those proper coping mechanisms or know how to properly funnel that negative energy about whatever's going on in our life, be it just relationship struggles, you know, just things in our life in general. So a lot of times we find negative ways of funneling out that bad energy, whether it's cutting ourselves or, you know, like Calvin was mentioning, the binge eating, which is sad. Like, I know myself personally, I've become a recluse. I went through a couple of issues in my life. One of them, I lost my gay child. And I think for me, for the holidays, especially during Christmas time, because that's the last time I ever talked to her, so like 4 or 5 years ago, she called me on Christmas night to wish me Merry Christmas on her way back to Atlanta. And every Christmas, I'm reminded of that. And it makes me sad. It makes me depressed because I, you know, I was used to having her, talking to her, and just it was a sad moment for me. So I know how that is for people, but I just think that with me, I just knew, you know, that's what I do. I get back in my little hermit shell and I just chill. You know what I'm saying? That's how I cope with things. But other people find other ways to do that. I just, as far as myself, I've never had that passion to hurt myself because, this, you know, I want to be here. If anything, Justin wants to live, but it's just one of those things. I really sympathize sometimes with people who have emotions that are that deep because I find it hard for myself personally to get to that level, but it's just one of those things. You know, I just wanted to chime in and just, you know, shout out everybody on that one because I understand to a certain degree.
Justin, I have a question. So this is Michi. How did you deal with the actual loss of your gay child? Like, what were some of the things that you did that helped you to cope with your situation?
I got together with, like, my friends and stuff like that, but a lot of it was just looking at the pictures and stuff that when we had gone out, like, we had traveled, we had gone different places, remember some of the things we had done, because my gay child was also my roommate in college. So it was just awkward for me, you know, in a sense, because we had formed a bond together that was really, it was really tight. So I had that type of loss in my life. I find myself going back and looking at pictures. I got all our pictures in my, like, my scrapbook and everything they put up, and I go back and I just look at them and I remember and everything like that. And that's, you know, I'm not the type of person to cry. It's very rare that I cry, and it has to be something really hard to push me to get to that point. And that's, you know, that's one of those things. It's a hurting thing. I had that voice message still saved on my phone. I had it for like a good two or three years until I changed phones. I had the message saved, and that's one of those things, just to be able to hear that voice. But I don't know. It's, you know, to be able to talk about it for me is kind of hard, but it's just, you know, I understand what you guys are talking about.
So what would you tell somebody who's dealing with that now?
What I would tell you is, do you think that person that is not here now would want you to leave this earth in that fashion? You know, they would still want you to live, and that's the whole thing about it. I think that's, and people might not think that way, you know what I'm saying? They might think, you know, I want to be whoever that person is, but I'm pretty sure if the shoe was on the other foot, they wouldn't want you to leave this earth like that. You know what I'm saying? And you have to think about the people that are going to be affected by you not being here, you know? And that's one of those things, especially when you're talking about it to that extreme level.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for calling in, Justin.
Justin, I'm going to come back to you when we get to American Horror Story. I know you got stuff to say.
Okay.
I know exactly what Justin's saying about, you know, listening, and everything he just said was so on point. When I lost my mother, one of the things that I used to do is I used to call her phone just to hear her voicemail, just to hear her voice. This is back when, you know, we all used to record our voices. Like right now we just let, you know, the services do it. But this is when we used to, you know, record our voices. Hi, thank you for calling, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, with the little music in the background and stuff. And my mother used to play, I think it was Superwoman by what's her name? What was that? Who used to sing Superwoman?
Are you talking about
I can't remember.
Karen White.
You're talking about Karen White.
Huh?
Karen White.
Karen White. Yes. She had Superwoman playing in the background, and, you know, I used to listen to her voicemail, and I used to just call and listen to it, and I used to break down and cry and call and listen to it over and over again until the phone company cut her phone off. But, yeah, it's something about hearing their voices and things of that sort. And I lost a best friend of mine, you know, a few years ago, and, you know, he was always the one that I felt that understood me the most. He was always the one that supported me the most. And like Justin said, you know, when you feel like you're giving up, or you know, you feel like I can't handle it no more. I can't do this no more. Even for the girls, you know, that are femme queens out there, and they feel like I can't, you know, this is just too much for me. and things of that sort. I just can't deal with this. You know, the girls have it hard because, you know, with the hormones and everything that we're going through, you know, for going through transition and stuff, that takes a toll on us as well. And a lot of the girls can't, you know, cope with other, you know, they can't mingle with other girls because, you know, girls hate on other girls. You know what I'm saying? So you got, you know, you can't really go to another girl and say, well, girl, how can I handle this? And, but what did you do with the hormones? You don't really have people that sit down and really want to guide you and stuff like that. A lot of femme queens, you know, click with other butch queens and stuff like that as that support system. You know, because girls just hate on other girls. You don't want the next girl to be prettier than you or, you know, you're going to pull more trade or something like that. You know, it's just a whole bunch of jealousy out there, in all honesty. So girls, you know, cling with the butch queens and stuff. And he was my butch queen. He was my best friend, Terrence. And when I lost Terrence, it really took a toll on me. That was my best friend. You know, he was that one person when I didn't have family. I didn't have money. I didn't have nothing. I was sleeping on a mattress on the floor in a rooming house. And he spent Thanksgiving with his family and brought me food just to sit on the floor with me and spend Thanksgiving with me. You know, he was that one person, and I really miss him to this day. And I used to, you know, say to myself when I was trying to give up and I couldn't handle it no more, you know, Terrence, you know, he would stick in my head like, no, girl, you're pretty. No, you need to keep going. No, you can do this. Keep going and stuff like that. And even though he wasn't there physically pushing me, being my cheerleader, being my coach, I still felt him within me. And, you know, that's what you got to look at. You got to look within yourself and look. And even though they're not here, even with your mom not being here, your family not being here or something, still know that they're, you know, they may be down looking at you. They're still a part of you or their memory is still within you and they can keep you going. So, you know, just kind of think of it that way. I know that's how I was able to deal with a lot that I went through, losing my mother, losing my best friend, you know, not having, you know, family around and things of that sort. So that was my escape. And, of course, God, you know, finding my way back to God. 718-327, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say a lot of times people don't actually deal with issues. They go through stuff and they kind of, like, jump over it instead of working through it. And you may think you're strong, but you have a lot of, like, pent-up stuff built inside, and you just keep avoiding it. And that happens in the Black community a lot because we're taught to kind of sweep everything under the rug and just move on. And that's a big issue that a lot of us face.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Go ahead.
I can actually say I agree with her because, you know, especially I know with me myself, I know I tend to deal with a lot of things by thinking that, you know, I'm just going to let it go and I'm not going to let it get to me and I'm not going to let it bother me. But then, you know, it could be the tiniest thing that actually just pops the bubble and just makes me snap about things that could have happened 2 or 3 years ago. And but sometimes it's just hard to work through stuff like that, especially when you don't want to hurt other people's feelings. You don't, I mean, and I know it's like, you know, you just need to tell them how you feel and get it off your chest. But I'm the type of person, I know how it feels to be hurt. I know how it feels to be disappointed. And when I have to tell people no or when I have to tell people how I actually feel, like, sometimes it just doesn't come out the right way, and I just end up sweeping it under the carpet.
You know, Jasmine, I think the strength is in the weakness also. Once you identify your weakness and the weakness where your, you know, your breaking point is, where you realize that I'm in danger of doing something to myself or doing something to someone else, I think that's the key point. When you understand your weakness and you understand the weakness that is on task and in the case of you breaking down, once you understand that, then you can go ahead on and move on to a solution or to someone that you can really vent to. Or even if you think some of the solutions after you've seen your weakness and identify your weakness, I think sometimes your solutions can actually, you know, really, really help you out to cope with with the situation besides hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. 917-688, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm calling in basically just to say, I heard you say earlier that, you know, this topic is boring and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just listening, by the way, but this topic is definitely not boring, and it definitely is reaching out to a lot of people, whether they press one or whether they don't. I'm listening, and typically I wouldn't press one, but, you know, I just wanted to let you know that it is reaching somebody because it's reaching me.
Oh, thank you so much, caller. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. 704-361, you're on the air.
Charlotte.
704-361.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Am I
on the air?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Yes, you're on. Don't be shy. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about coping mechanisms, or we're talking about, like, life experiences at the moment?
Both.
It can be either or.
Either or. Okay. Well, hey, everyone. I'm Christian, and I dealt with, like, depression and stuff like that when I was in high school, actually. And in high school, you know, I come from a very small town, and everybody knew me as a child who went to the medical hospital because he overdosed, and he needed to get help, and he was just a troubled child and whatnot. And a lot of the things that I look back on now, and I understand that when I was in high school, I was trying to please everybody. I was trying to make everyone my friend, and I didn't know that not everyone is your friend, and not everyone is going to like you, and that got to me. You know, it's more so I wasn't able to please somebody, or I wasn't able to satisfy my family because of who I was or what I chose to like as far as men. Because I came out at a very, very early age and at a school that is known to be, like, hood and ghetto as hell. And, you know, and it's like you one of the very few gay boys who couldn't handle the pressure of society, and you snap, you overdose. And I could just sit here and tell people, no, it's not going to happen to anyone. And I can sit here and be like, no, I just was trying to get high. I wasn't trying to kill myself. But at the end of the day, reality is what reality is. People, you know, depression is a part of people's lives, and I feel like it's more so through hate caused by the community or feeling lonely as if no one understood you. And I totally get the whole fact of, you know, putting down people and all that. So that's why I really try not to do it. You know, we can make jokes and Kit Kat, you know, but at the end of the day, people do kill themselves. And I, you know, with the violence thing, like I left the hospital. I got, you know, my fantasy, my blessing, my bliss. And I entered the violence thing, and I've seen a whole lot of people that I wasn't too fond of because I didn't know them. But when they spoke to me, they were the most sweetheart, generous people that I have ever met in my life. And they spoke, you know, words to me as, you know, you're not, you know, someone regular. You're not just, you know, just, you're someone special. And I was pained. Like, oh, girl, you don't, you like, and they're like, no, you need to listen. There are haters. You know, what Jasmine was talking about, there are haters. You cannot let them get to you. And those words are dear to me because every single last one of those people who said that to me has passed. Rest in peace to Shorty, because that was one of the Shorty Miyake McGlare. He was one of the only McGlare that, you know, spoke to me in those words and really had my back when everyone was, you know, keying at me as if I was a knock. He said, just stay true to who you are, and you're going to be good. And he passed away, and he will forever be in my memory as far as one of my closest and dearest friends. And, I mean, I just have to piggyback on what Jasmine said. There are haters, and you cannot please everyone. When you try to please everybody, that is when you drive yourself insane and forget what reality, you know, is.
And I feel like that's a lot of, you know, a lot of problems with the whole generation, especially in my city and my kind of in our world country. But that was about it, all I wanted to say. You can move through it. It might take some time, but it's not something that anyone can help you with. Yeah, I've been there. I've been to the hospital. I've been to, you know, counselors, and it's not something that someone can help you with. You have to help yourself before you can expect somebody to understand who you are if you don't even understand who you are. And
that's so true.
And that's how that's how I cope with it. People have different coping mechanisms, but with me, it's more so understand your place, understand your role, understand who you are, understand your responsibilities, and know that you share a responsibility with someone. You're not on your own, although, you know, you might be with your family. I heard someone speaking about he had to take care of his father, and, you know, it might weigh on you, but at the end of the day, you're not alone. People are there with you, whether you realize it or don't realize it. I was so tapped out of it. I didn't realize that I do have a support system. It might not be everybody. Everybody might support me, but I do have a support system, and I do appreciate everybody who has supported me and, you know, gotten me through my struggle of depression. And I just really want to thank everybody, all the gay community, even straight and bi community, for listening to this radio station tonight in general, because it really shows growth in our community. But,
Thank you so much, caller. You're welcome. There's something that he brought up that I do want to touch up on, and I hope I don't forget it, but I'm going to go to a couple of callers, but it definitely has to do with the community itself, the hating within the community and stuff like that. 3126, so I hear somebody's background again, y'all. Please mute yourself. Shamika, you're back. Shamika? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope my internet is not carrying because it's...
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. My phone just hung up. I don't know why.
Okay, I got you. Hold on, because my thing is acting slow. I got you in two areas, Shamika. It still shows that you're logged on. Switchboard might be acting funny. Okay, cool. 312-694, you're on the air. What happened? Ciao. 312-694. I don't know if switchboard is acting funny. 312. If that's somebody else, honey, let me know because I can't tell. Because it's going on and going off. The lines are full or something, child. It's acting funny. 718-327, you're on the air. Is he going to do it on that one too? I do apologize if we're experiencing technical difficulties. 718-327. Okay, it did it again. Why is it doing that? J-Rock, you're on the air. J-Rock? Okay, switchboard is not allowing me to take calls. What the hell is the problem? It's always something when you try to do something. Yes, with the board is acting funny now.
That is the devil.
Yeah, that is the devil. Ain't it carrying right now?
The board, devil.
Yeah, she all over the place, honey. She's actually freezing up. Why is she carrying like this? Let me try this again. J-Rock, you're on the air. J-Rock, Yeah, it won't let me go to y'all people. Damn, the switchboard is carrying. Is that what's going on? Jason.
I'm here.
I can hear you, Melissa, because you was already unmuted. Jason, are you logged on the switchboard?
No. Do you need me to?
Yeah, log on really quickly and see if you can. I don't know if it's on my end or see if you can pick up J-Rock.
Okay, let me do it.
I apologize for the technical difficulties, everybody, but So one thing I wanted to bring up, and I'll get to you callers. I still see what happened. Now it unmuted everybody. 312-694, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What's up? I don't want to say my name or whatever because I am somebody that do walk balls and stuff like that.
You don't have to.
But I just want to touch on the community and the ball scene as far as, like, having a mental illness because of the ball scene. Just going back when I was younger, when I first started doing the ball, when I first came out as a gay person or whatever, I was a freshman in high school, and I met somebody that introduced me into the ball scene. And at that time that I started doing balls or whatever, I was, a very attractive young man, and it was like, well, we probably want you to walk in a category called face and stuff like that. So I didn't think none of it. I was like, well, I can try it out. So I got into the category or whatever the case may be. Then I just got into more of not enjoying the comments that people were giving to me because it's like everything was just so based on how I look and how I felt, you know, so and how they view me. So I developed an eating disorder, bulimia. And that was my way to cope with everything that was going on in my life. So I began to binge and, purge my food. And that's the way I dealt with the comments and just to keep the image that everybody wanted me to have. But deep inside, I was just killing myself. At the time, I was a freshman in high school. I went 4 years of high school just binging and purging and gaining weight, losing weight, maintaining my weight until my senior year where I collapsed in school going up the stairs. And that's when I finally told my parents about the situation. And they got me into treatment and stuff like that. At the time, you know, being an African-American guy, they really didn't know. It wasn't really too many treatment options for me. But I did get therapy and I talked to somebody about the issue. And I just feel like it's just really difficult sometimes being a person in this lifestyle that, especially in the ball scene, when it's like everything that is so glamorized, you know, everything is so like, you know, the way you look, the what you have, how much money you have, you know, and it's become very difficult on the psyche sometimes, you know. And I had to, at this moment, I don't really walk too many balls or whatever just because I know that mentally I'm not in a good place right now to be doing balls like I used to because I just don't want to go back down that whole path of self-hatred, you know. I think it takes a while for people to, especially in this community as being a gay man, especially being an African-American gay male, it takes time for people to start to learn to love themselves, you know, to appreciate everything they have. You know, like, I'm a very intelligent young man. I went to school. I got my own place and everything like that. And, you know, I got a great career. But it was just like I just could not look in the mirror and just accept what I saw. But everybody around me liked it, what they saw. But I just couldn't see what they liked it. So it was just really difficult for me and, you know, stuff like that. So I can agree with a lot of people when they feel, you know, like self-hatred and you think to help them cope with the situation they're going through.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carla. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing with us.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Carla, you had said something. This is Meech again. You had said something while you were speaking, and you said that right now you're not in a mental state to continue to participate in ballroom, correct? Is that, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Right, because at this point in my life that, you know, I have been relapsing or whatever, because I don't know if too many people understand how an eating disorder works. It's more of, you know, it's like, it's almost like when you is an alcoholic or something like that. It's not like, okay, you go to treatment and you get healthy. You know, you can relapse and you can have difficult moments, you know, that you have to deal with. And at this point, like, I just feel like even, like, it's a well-known pretty boy that I'm really, really friends. Pretty Boy Realness, he walked Pretty Boy Realness that I'm really good friends with. And he walked balls, but, you know, he also do some things that, you know, not right or whatever. So it's like,
well, no, I mean,
you would be surprised at how many people that, you know, do things to keep up an image. Just, I don't think to benefit themselves,
right.
But just.
No, I mean, I understand and I get all that, but I really wasn't, like, saying for you not to participate. I feel everyone should be at a point in place in their life in order to deal with ballroom, because ballroom can really just put a lot of pressure on you. And if you already have personal pressure that you can barely deal with, really ballroom is really not a place for you to probably so much tap into. But my question really was more, so I looked at the situation where you were speaking more so as kind of like what they would call like a silent cry for help, really, you know, kind of like just, you know, your situation, because you're still at that mental state, and more so of concern of, do you have someone, you know, that you can still sit down and talk to and open up to and deal with it? Because if, you know, you already realize and say that you've got a mental state where you can't deal with ballroom, so you really have some other issues going on that, you know, you don't want to bring with you while trying to deal with the ballroom and the crowd and the illusions and the glam and all that. So, you know, it's just more so of making sure that, you know, that you know that, knowing if you have someone that you can talk to, are you still going through therapy, like where are you at right now as far as coping and dealing with your mental state?
Switchboard is acting really funny, so it's muting people and unmuting them.
Well,
so
can you hear me?
I can hear you, J-Rock.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Hello? And who's that?
This is Bishop.
It was doing that for a while last night, but it straightened itself out, so I don't know what's going on.
No, everybody that was unmuted is okay, but it was the people that was coming back on and off. But J-Rock, you're there. Shamika, you're there. Jason, Bishop, Calvin, London, Melissa, Shamika, Michi, and J-Rock, you're all there. I don't know why it's doing it. You said it was doing it last night, Jason?
Yeah, it would light up next to people's name and then disappear when I went to go to bring them on.
Who was watching TV?
I was, but I'm about to turn it off and turn it down. I was on mute.
How are you going to be watching TV and stuff during a topic like this, Jason? You're just a mess. You probably was eating pumpkin pie. That's what it was.
Can I, Jasmine?
You are just going, okay, Jasmine, you know what? When you are done with whatever, I'm going to bake you a couple. I really am, because you are not going to browbeat me because I was having a pumpkin pie. And I didn't even eat that pumpkin pie yet that I baked.
Go ahead, Cal.
I just wanted to share some statistics that I had looked up because, as a lot of people know,
hold on,
you know,
Calvin, hold on, Calvin, because it unmuted him. Go ahead, 312-694. Bishop, Michi asked you a question.
I'm a sign of
pillar
type of. How long can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes,
I was
trying to kind of
feel a certain type
system.
Of way. I was like, are they gagging
don't
on my time? Like,
hello?
I started talking
no,
about pies and shit like that. I'm like, oh, they is gagging on my time. But, no, but, like what Michi was saying, that I took, right now I've been on, like, a hiatus or whatever because, like, I have put on a couple pounds or whatever, so... when I say that I'm not in like a good place, it's just because like physically I just feel like, you know, I just can't deal with just going back out there and letting people see me at this point or whatever the case may be. But I have been going to different support groups to help me out with the situation. I haven't told my parents again yet because I just feel like they might actually try to force me back into treatment. So, but other than that, like, I've just been maintaining, you know, just, you know, really just focus on just not really dealing with a lot of people that I used to deal with in my past. You know, a lot of gay guys can be really, really, you know, really shady and just really messy. So I try to just now just really focus on my career and just go to work, come home, and just, you know, relax or whatever. But sometimes it can be, you know, very difficult for me or whatever. And I do listen to the show, like, every Wednesday. Like, and it's like it really helped me. The talk would be really, really good for me to just listen to. And, you know, it just helped me just think that I'm not alone, you know what I'm saying, that other people struggle and use different things to cope with different situations in their life.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you tune in, and I'm glad you are one of those people who listen and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Jasmine. Hello?
Hold on. Yeah, you're here.
And I will probably like to be probably a panelist or something on Wednesday.
You just call in and let me know when you
want to
come on.
I'm just saying, like, I just feel like my type of work I do is that I do work with mentally ill young kids. So, so, you know, it's kind of difficult for me to be battling with this disorder. And also, when I go to work and I help other people cope with their issues. So I think I have a lot of good insight in mental illness because there's a lot of mental illness in our community that a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm just putting it out there, but, you know, just as a kiki. But, yeah.
I got you. Okay. Well, thank you, caller, really quickly. I want to address something. J-Rock, I didn't forget about you either. I want to address something really quickly, though. Janice, girl, ain't nobody going to attack you if you call into this damn show. Yeah, I'm going to get on all that in a minute, too, but ain't nobody going to attack nobody on this show.
Nobody.
That's on Tuesday night.
That's Tuesday. That's not Wednesday. Well, that's a good topic, Janice. Call in, and we can maybe stop doing that. We can have that topic. My God.
Can I say something? Can I say something real quick? Janice remind me of me last year. That's why I'm That's why I'm coping with what I say and what I do in the room. Now, I want to know if I get on attacking real quick.
Bishop.
Okay.
I want to let J-Rock talk. He's been sitting there for all this time having phone issues. J-Rock,
yeah.
You're on the air, sweetie.
Yes, y'all can hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you late.
Oh, I know.
What up, Jay?
I've been called late many times in my life, you know, especially when I came off the ball.
That you are.
But first, I would like to start out by telling everybody, hello, how you doing? I want to let you know that if you're listening right now, take down a pen, take out your phone, take down a piece of paper and a pen and write this down. 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. That is the National Suicide Prevention Line. Sometimes you have to call somebody that you do not have any ties with that is just going to lend your ear, you know, and talk to you, because a lot of you people out there are depressed. And I won't even say you people. I would say a lot of us are out there that are depressed. And like they said, everybody have their breaking point. I dealt with it as a teenager, but then sometimes what got me to mature is when you have to start dealing with juniors and you're a leader in an organization or whatever, especially something like the military. A lot of people cannot cope with simple things as being away from their family, or they've never been away from their mom, or they love their brothers and sisters so much they want to go home, homesick now, either they can't take the pressure of somebody telling them what to do. Like, the number one reason people don't even join the military is not because of the war. It's because I don't like nobody telling me what to do. So if you can't like nobody telling you what to do, you can't even have a regular job. So we have to deal with that a lot. And sometimes when you say breaking point, I always tell them, okay, if you have a breaking point, it's okay to break down. It's okay to start crying. But just cry, get it out, let it all out. Do what you have to do, you know what I'm saying? Cry, let it all out. And then just start saying to yourself, what's the solution, and seek help. I've been sitting back listening to a lot of the stories and everything, and, you know, I've shared my story many times on this radio show. I even broke down one time when I first called in. Like the young man said, he listened to it every Wednesday night for all the people that was hating on Jasmine about a month ago, saying that this show don't do nothing for nobody. It does help out. Like, when I was younger, I had a very, and I still have this problem to this day. It was hard for me to accept that some people just not going to like you. Because I grew up being the good kid, the good boy, the good son, the good brother, you know, the good youth minister at the church. I did everything that everybody, what I thought was right. So I never had that, oh, you're wrong, or you did bad, or I didn't get those kind of whoopings and stuff like that because I did what I was supposed to do. So to grow up and face society and realize that people are just not going to like you, I had the hardest time coping with that. But I can say this about ballroom. Since I've been in ballroom, it has made me grow a thick skin. Because like I tell a lot of people, the person you see on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and even sometimes on Wednesday nights, to personally know me, I am a very compassionate person. I care about people's feelings. I care about people's well-being, and I will jump in front of a bullet, and you can be my enemy. If Icon Penny Jones was about to get shot, I would jump in front of a bullet and save her. If Milan was about to get shot, I would jump in front of a bullet and save him. Just because I don't like you don't mean that I don't love you. I love all mankind. So when people don't like me or people say something about me, I had a hard time dealing with it. But since I've been in the ballroom and stuff, since I've been in the ballroom and everything, it lets me know, hey, I've built that little button in my head that's called fuck it. You cannot please everybody. Because you will kill yourself and then die. And these motherfuckers will still be walking around this earth, still carrying on doing the same shit they was doing when you were alive. So take care of self first. It's okay to be selfish when it comes down to your mental stability, because you are the only one that has control of your mind and your mental stability.
Well, let's offer time on Blog Talk Radio.
That was an awesome point,
it's
man.
It's a couple of things I want to touch up on. First, Melissa, you're back. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Did you want to touch up on anything that we were talking about tonight? I know you've been a busy girl.
I want to say that, you know, like, there's a lot of help out there for you guys. If y'all want, y'all can hit me up. I have a lot of resources from, you know, where I used to work before. But where I used to work, actually, Bronx Community Healthcare, they do support groups every Monday and Wednesdays. They do Debbie's, like, healthy relationships to help people, you know, who want to come out and tell people their statuses and different things like that. They do sister-sister, a lot of different Debbie's and interventions to help people with these things. And, you know, like, right now they're doing a lot of groups for, like, the holiday blues. And stuff for the girls who want to go. And, you know, it's really helpful because they talk about a lot of things, like, and they touch base on a lot of things and how you can cope with things. And they have people that you can talk to there, because sometimes people don't have people to talk to or don't know who to talk to or who they tell their business to and stuff. And stuff like that. So, I mean, it's really a good place to go to also. They call it Bronx Community Healthcare Network, CHNNYC.org. They're really good, and they have a lot of resources to help people there, too. With everything, with housing, with everything, you know, they do basically everything there. So it's a good place to go.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. I know you're busy, so mute your phone until you get down and get a chance to sit down and relax. Let me see if I can go to some of these other callers really quickly. Private caller, you're on the air.
Well, I would just like to come and just change the topic real quick, if I can.
No.
Yes, Kelly.
Excuse me. I need to change the topic real quick because we're not going to be on the air. This is the last show of the week, and we're not going to be on the air, so I'm going to come, and I'm going to change the topic because we're not going to be on the air on Saturday, and I'm going to change the topic real quick. So you're going to let me change the topic the same way you came and you crashed my show.
Oh, my God, Mr.
Okay.
Do
so I just want to play
the
song, and I want to wish my sister Jasmine a happy birthday because we are not going to be on the air Saturday, and it's going to be her birthday. So happy birthday,
happy
Jasmine.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
I was waiting to say it at the end, but happy birthday,
Jasmine. Oh, my God. Y'all be playing. I must agree, love you, and I tell you what it be. But just the more perfect that you have a world party on the day you see. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I just muted you, so now I don't want to hear it no more. Thank you so
that
much.
Oh my God.
Let us love on.
We are not going
chick.
To play that old ass song.
Why not, home chick?
Thank
That's a
you.
Classic.
So I just wanted to come because we're not going to be on the air on Sunday, and Monday is after your birthday, so I wanted to be the first one to come and wish you a happy birthday.
You don't
she
get
always
no
has
to,
every
that,
year
Kelly.
She does this. Every year she has to be the first one. It's like always the same thing with this child, honey. It's always the same thing. But you know what, Kelly? We're going to get on you in a second.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
So
have a good night. That's all I called in for.
Uh-huh.
But you a happy
no.
birthday. So I'm going back on hold. I see y'all got American Horror Story by calling to the show. So I'm going back on hold.
Okay. This is exactly why.
American Horror Story.
Yeah, stop. Stop. Stop it. This is exactly why she doesn't want to call in. This is exactly why a lot of people don't want to call in. This is exactly why a lot of people don't want to listen. Y'all need to stop for a second. Just stop for 1 second, y'all, please. Because I have this show for everybody. I don't judge anybody until they judge me. 718-327 on the air.
I just wanted to call back and I wanted to say something. Hi, Mel. This is Jennifer. I work at CHN. I wanted to say that we have to understand suicidal ideation. Hey, suicidal ideation and depression is not a bad thing. Everybody goes through it at some point in their life, regardless of how big or small it is. We need to work on ways to deal with it and get through it. There's nothing wrong with going to therapy. A lot of people go to therapy when they don't have any current issues. It's a way to have someone to talk to. In this life, in this lifestyle, from a young age, it already feels like everybody's against us. As we get older, the one community, the LGBT community that we think we can turn to, they turn against us. So it really is a feeling of loneliness.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It really is a feeling of loneliness, and a lot of people don't know how to deal with it. They don't have an outlet. They don't have anyone to talk to. They don't know what to do. And that's pretty much a last resort. I turn to my own community, and they don't have my back. They kiki at my expense. What am I going to do? Let me hurt myself to get some attention or just to stop the pain.
Exactly.
You're right.
I really agree on that.
I really agree with her. She touched base on serious things, but yes, I do agree.
Yes, Yako O'Hara, she is very nice. She was one of my old co-workers when I used to work there. She's very, very good. She works in the Queens program, and she's really, really, really nice. La Jennifer works as well.
All right, I want to say something to everybody because now, you know, some of y'all are getting on my damn nerves, honey. You know, it always comes to that point. So how am I going to say it without twisting the show and making it go left? One thing that I notice that happens with people are some of you, I'm not talking about anybody on the phone, I'm talking about the listeners and people in the rooms and stuff. Some of you have a tendency of, bottom line is you get a thrive out of hurting other people, harming other people, attacking other people, because evidently you are going through something within yourself that you get a kick out of doing this. I'm not talking about, you know, I know a lot of them, that automatically is going to make it seem like Kelly is, you know, who I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about Kelly. Kelly looks at, you know, what we do on this show and as far as the group and everything is from a journalist point of view. So I'm not talking about us as journalists and stuff like that, people as a part of a show and stuff. I'm talking about some of you people who just sit there in the sidelines. Y'all sit here and have the nerve to be so angry and upset when somebody is attacking you or reading you or judging your pictures or things or judging things that you have done or things that you got caught up doing or you posted an ad and, you know, evidently, you know, there, you know, it got caught. Somebody fished and found it. And now, you know, you're the victim. Everybody's playing victim now. I'm the victim and everybody hates me and everybody's bullying me and ganging up on me. But what about those posts that are out there of other people when you are liking them and you're making comments and you're reading those same people? It's like what's good for the goose is it should be good for the gander. It's like it's a cause and effect thing. I don't understand, though, how you people really sit there and do that. That's why I don't even play with it. I don't even bother with it. And again, it's no shade towards Kelly because I tell Kelly how I feel. She tells me, and we ended at that point. But that's why I don't like some of the shit that I see. Like this whole thing that happened with Japan and his picture being posted and all the comments in there about Japan. Now, we all need to go to, I mean, what needed to happen at that point was everybody needed to stop being so angry and attacking Kelly or the group or the radio station for what happened with Japan.
Uh-huh.
The bottom line is it needs to go to who took that motherfucking picture. Who do you sit here and allow? Who do you sit here and allow? Who do you sit here and call your friend, your lover, your whatever? whatever, and you allow them to get you in that point, and then they play those cards against you. Everybody wants to get mad at the next person. It's the same thing with Janice. Janice, I want you to call in because nobody is going to attack you or bully you or anything right here, because if you, I mean, you can call in and listen, or you can call in and speak, or speak to me, or speak to whoever you want to, but I'm not going to allow anyone to sit here and attack you, not tonight. Not, you know, that's what they do on other nights. That's what those other nights are for, but tonight is not about that at all. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that happens. I don't even agree with what happens on some of the other nights and stuff like that, but that's not nothing that I can control. You know, it's not something that I'm going to sit here and dictate and change up, because that's what it is. You know, it's like a club. They play 80s music, they play disco music, they play club music and stuff, and everybody don't like to go to the 80s night or Latin night or whatever. That's just how it is. You know, that's what it boils down to. But I just don't see this when it comes to this. And this is my point for tonight's show. What if y'all sit here and keep attacking people? This is what got my attention a few weeks ago. It was brought to my attention as somebody's picture was posted. I'm not going to mention any names, but somebody's picture was posted. And that picture was posted in the groups and, of course, went viral all over Instagram, all over Twitter, all over different Facebook groups. The individual whose picture was posted, again, allegedly, wanted to harm themselves. And it took a group of friends or whatever to stay on the phone with them for a few hours, and, you know, thank God they didn't harm themselves. But that was her breaking point. She was over it, and she felt that she couldn't take the ridicule. She couldn't take everyone laughing and judging her and kikiing at her, and you girls are just very vicious, and you girls went in on this individual, and this individual thought about hurting themselves. And we sit here and we continue to do this. Now look at what we just did to Japan. Now what if that happened to Japan? What if the day comes, or what happens when the day comes, that all you girls that sit there and laugh at everybody and kiki at everybody and attack everybody and read everybody? I heard there was reading going on with different individuals, like last night. I didn't hear the show, but different individuals reading individuals and stuff like that. What happens during the day y'all sit here and keep attacking? Because it's no longer a kiki read. Y'all go for blood. What happens when an individual really hurts themselves? They reach that breaking point. Are you going to have any remorse for what happened? And you know what? A lot of you probably won't, because that's how you are. And it's really sad that that's how you are. And then the same, the bottom line is, when the shoe is on the other foot, how do y'all feel? It's just a very sad situation. And, you know, the only thing I can say about it, and this is what I said to everybody, and it's no shade to you guys, and I'm going back into tonight's topic. If y'all people do not like what y'all see, then leave. Leave the room or hang up the phone. But don't sit here and keep attacking individuals, because there's a part of you that does like it. There's a part of you that does live for it. That's why you're still around. I think I say this every month. Yeah, I always want to read the show, read the group, read us. But then, yeah, and have so much negative to say, but then you guys still stick around. It's like, I just don't get it about yourself. You're just as guilty. All you people that stick around are just as motherfucking guilty as the next person. I don't give a fuck what you say. You are just as fucking guilty. You just right there on the sidelines throwing stones just as much as those other people. And that's really the truth behind the whole matter, in all honesty. It's just really fucking sad. I 100% do not agree with a lot of the stuff that goes on. But I also feel that sometimes we need to realize when enough is enough with it. It really, we really do. It just really, really needs to happen. But I
can
don't know.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Sometimes that's like seeing a little bit like comedians need to like stop, you know, doing comedy. Because sometimes some of the things are funny that, you know, goes on. I know that it hurts some of the people and stuff, but sometimes people put this on upon themselves. Like, you know, when they go to American Idol, but you know you don't know how to sing. Why are you going up in there and singing? You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know that you look fierce in that picture. Why are you putting up this picture? People will read you. Like, sometimes people do it to themselves.
Well, so, and that's true. Sometimes people do it to themselves. You're 100% right. But there's also a point where enough is enough with it. You know, like I said, it's not as fun as it used to be. Like I said, you know, we used to have categories. I said this last week. We used to have categories where we would just sit down and read each other, and it would be fun, and the whole ballroom would laugh and kiki and joke about it, and it was for a grand prize. It was for money, not money, but it was for a trophy and stuff of that sort, and people would hug after and laugh and so forth and so on. That's still in the same era where people would walk and they would be in the back getting ready, helping each other get prepared for a category, walk out there, battle each other down and walk off together and then take some of that money or whatever and go eat together. You know, but now we're not in that era. Right now we're in an era where everything is so damn personal. Right now we're in an era where everything is so damn serious. The egos, everything is just so fucking serious. There's no more fun about it. All right, somebody got a bad picture up, and you know, we laugh, we kiki, or whatever. We go in on it, but it starts turning into the reading sessions turn into blood. They just go fucking ballistic. And
sometimes
and no
the person
longer
who took the picture don't own it. They need to own it. Like, girl, all right, yeah, they keep going, feeding into it. Don't feed into it, girl. You put that picture up, you thought you looked over in the picture, girl, then own it, honey, and be like, bitch, well, pay it, honey. I know I look good, and that's it. Don't go back and forth, because if you're going to feed into it, they're going to keep giving you what you want, honey.
And that's the truth, but at the end of the day, some people aren't strong enough to go and to keep going on after that. I mean, I know me personally, as much as I try to pay the ignorant comments and shit, sometimes it really does affect me. And, you know, y'all say grow tough skin, but, you know, I've lived 25 years without having to grow a tough skin because, you know, I can deal with fat comments, but then I can understand a bitch calling me fat, but then a bitch just digs and they dig and they dig to the point to where you feel like killing your own damn self because, I mean, it's hard because everybody's like, well, you're weak-willed and you're, but it's so much more.
Can I say something, Jasmine?
Take yourself away from all of that negative situation. Get out of the group. Don't put yourself in those situations, honey.
Right.
If you're going to put yourself,
that's
it does.
That's true.
I remember one.
Kelly, you're back.
Calvin.
Yes.
Let me tell you one thing, right? Okay, I've been doing this for 19 motherfucking years, bitch. I done heard every motherfucking fat joke. I done heard every motherfucking ugly joke, Calvin. You let what these motherfucking miserable motherfucking faggots say to you bounce up off your motherfucking skin, and you keep it motherfucking moving, okay, bitch? We all started from someplace, and I say this all the time, bitch. What's a motherfucker? I was the biggest motherfucking knot there was, mistake, and I would leave out my house in full motherfucking fucking drag, bitch, and go to the club and peel and become a motherfucking butch queen. Look at me motherfucking now, Miss Thing. Fuck what these motherfucking bitches got
from
about
the bottom,
you.
Now you're here.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck what any of these motherfucking miserable, low-life motherfuckers got to fucking say about you. Because half of these bitches ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. They barely got motherfucking Wi-Fi to make that motherfucking comment.
Come on.
Hey, you know, this is my thing.
Give it
my thing
up,
is
for the big girls.
My thing is, somebody said something last year, and it took effect on me. It took effect on me, actually, this year. When Jason said one time when he was reading down someone, he said, I can take a read more than I can give one. When he said that, it made me realize, and I always remember that. It made me realize that sometimes, you know, when you read someone, just expect to read back. That's what I was saying. You know, when you play the cause and effect situation, the cause is basically you're reading someone else, and then the effect is you're getting the read back. The thing is, you have to be able to take it, and that was my focus, and that was my main issue and problem. Now it doesn't really. I'm unbothered with a lot of the reads now. Like I was very proud of myself, and I'm not boasting myself. I was very proud of myself when Gregory. You know, he put them, you know, posts out there about me. He gave them to Kelly. I couldn't say shit about it because it was the truth. And the thing is, I just was unbothered with it. I mean, you know, I sent it out there, and, you know, it came back to bite me in my ass. So, you know, I read, and he read back. But, I mean, you know, that's, you know, he probably overtook it, you know, overdid it. But, you know, for me, I didn't really care about it at the time because, I mean, now I come to a point where now I'm growing up, you know, growing up in this group. You know, and seeing certain things like that shit don't even bother me no more. And that's what I was trying to explain to Janice. You know, it's all about it's reading. The thing is, take the read. Come on, take the read, man. You a grown ass woman. You almost a legend. Take the read.
Almost.
Pay it.
Okay. Enough of that. Let me get to a caller. 704-361. You're on the air.
Hey, James, I got a question. okay, like, as the gay community, this is our ballroom home. And, there, you know, there is reading, and, you know, we are, you know, participants of the ballroom, whether it be past or the present, and for the future comers and things. Like, I left a whole bunch of houses, not because I didn't like them while they were beneath me, but because of the shade and the reeds. You know what I'm saying? I hear y'all speaking about it a lot right now. And how does one take, you know, walking a ball and, like, what advice do you have when someone joins a house or walks a ball and your house members are reading you for you walking that category or the judges panels don't see it? Because I, you know, can remember when I was younger, you know, I used to be on the phone with, you know, a girl and she would just bust out in tears and cry, like, what's the point of me fucking walking? Ain't no, you know what I mean? Like, ain't no point. Every time I go up there, they chop me, and they just read me in my face. And she was on the brink, you know, and I didn't know what to do but to, you know, help her, you know, like, to just talk with her, make sure she's okay. And she's okay now. Surprisingly, she turned into one of the girls that started reading me. But, you know, it goes to show, you know, cause and effect, what they were talking about, but more so your opinion about, like, how does one take it, or what does one person do when you want to participate, you want to walk, you want to, you know, show your skill and your craft and what you can offer, but every time you go out there, it's a read or somebody being facetious with you to the point where you just see no point in it. But how does one person
Kelly, you want to answer that?
Baby, I started off, baby, with the girls reading me and everything, bitch. And I paid everything that the girls had to say to me. I just went back and I perfected my motherfucking craft. That's what I did. Okay? The girls would sit and the girls would read me and ridicule me and try to put me down, baby. But all the girls did was make me into the bitch that I am today.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know, why do I act the way I act? Why do my face look the way it looks when I come out, and why my skin is so tough? Because the girls in the ballroom scene, they made me this way, bitch. The girls did this. I didn't do this. I was never this type of person. If you know me outside of the scene, that's the person that I was when I first came to the scene. But after all the years of the girls reading me and trying to put me down and make me feel less of a person, they made this motherfucking demon that they got right now, and so they got a motherfucking deal with it.
All right, so I want everybody to I want everybody to listen to Kelly. This is the point I'm making with this whole thing. Okay? Everybody listen to exactly what just took place with Kelly. Okay? You see how, I'm not reading or anything like that, but you see how aggressive she had to become. If anybody knows Kelly, the way I know Kelly, Kelly's a sweetheart. Kelly is deep down inside. She is a sweetheart with a big heart. She cares. She's loving. And, you know, that's Kelly. But this character, this person that, you know, you see on a runway, that you see on a judge's panel, that you see on the videos, that you see on the radio, that you hear on the radio, is something that was created by the scene itself. And that's what happens within this scene. Anybody that is within this ballroom scene that has a strong enough mind, it will create something within you. Tough skin is one of them. But as you hear with different people like J-Rock and a lot of the other people, you also hear that aggressiveness, that, you know, not anger, but that release, that, bitch, I've been through so much shit in this scene. I've been through so much. This is who the fuck I am now. Because a long time ago, this wasn't me. A long time ago, I was quiet. A long time ago, I was emotional. A long time ago, child, I left and I may have even cried or I couldn't handle it or whatever. But now, years later, this is who I have become. And in all honesty, you can't get mad at that because that's what you need within this scene. You need tough skin. Now, yes, I'm down here in 70 and 80-degree weather, but I do hear that it's very, very cold up north. Will y'all people go out there with no coats on? Will y'all people go out there with no sweaters on? Are y'all walking out there with no boots and flip-flops or whatever? No. Why? Because it's fucking cold. It's the same thing within this scene. You have to put on those coats, those boots, those gloves. You got to get ready. It's like going into battle. You have to get ready, and not just within the ballroom community, but within this lifestyle. Remember, this show is just not about balls. This show is about the lifestyle itself. You have to get that tough skin. Even if that tough skin starts to change you, that aggressiveness that we start hearing within ourselves, that anger, it's not really that we're angry or we're aggressive. It's that we've been through so fucking much that we can't allow the next person to continue to try to knock us down. Because if we stand there, we'll just get trampled by you people. And that's how you guys are. You guys are, it's a mess. And you have to have that tough skin in order to really be through this. Calvin, just like Kelly said, fuck what these motherfucking people say. And 9 out of 10, the ones that have so much to say are in a worse position than you. That's what it really boils down to. A lot of people that have so much to say are really in a worse position than you. And it could be, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything. But a lot of people that have so much to say, it's because they're miserable within themselves.
And Jasmine, I always say, you know, that the ballroom is going to either build character or build a character. Because I swear for God, like, if I was being J-Rock Ebony every day, all day, I wouldn't have shit. I wanted to answer a question that was asked in the ballroom page. It said, the Army, the Marines, and the Navy deal with people on the brink of suicide. And then Mona said, J-Rock, what made you want to join? I look at it like this. If you really know where I came from, like the people that's close to me that's in ballroom that have went with me to go just visit my mom, you know, in the drug house and all this kind of stuff. People that know me know that in Dallas, my family is the drug family on North Side, East Side, South Side. If I wasn't in the military, I would probably be in the family business of doing drugs, killing people, and doing all other kind of shit. You see what I'm saying? So to grow up in a lifestyle where it was violence, debts, you know what I'm saying, drugs, all kind of stuff like that, I mean, what's wrong with going to the military and getting away from all that? I mean, I've actually had to grow up and watch my uncles pour acid on people in the bathroom, in the tub, and all this kind of shit because they owed them money. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that...
TMI, J-Rock, TMI. This is a family show.
He in jail for life, so what they going to do to him? He already gone.
Let him pass.
But like I said, I'm just saying, a lot of times, y'all got to be careful of the people that you mess with because, like, with me, I suppress a lot of things, and I take a lot of the negative stuff that happened in my childhood up until my grandmother took us. I take a lot of that stuff, I suppress it, and I say, I'm not going to go down that road. What can I do? Because I don't like the consequence. If you don't like the consequence of something, then you do something in your life to make sure that you don't have to suffer those consequences of dying early at an early age or going to prison or not having a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. I will never be on nobody's floor. I will never have to beg or ask anybody for anything because I don't want to. So I get my ass up every morning and I go, you know, take my ass to work. So that's what made me want to join. What I mean, can the military be worse than walking out and getting shot in the head in your neighborhood just because you got caught up in the crossfire? No. I've never been in danger on that ship as much danger I was trying to walk to school every day. So that's what made me join.
Hold on, yeah, this thing acting funny.
What the fuck are you talking about? Hey,
Kelly, your background, honey. Your background. Why is this thing acting funny? Somebody need... Jason? Hello?
Hello?
There you go.
This is telling me there's a problem, and it booted me off.
Mm-hmm. What booted
you
off?
Wait a minute, let me explain it. There's a wait a minute. You are not connected. Please call. Okay, I need to call in. So I'm going to have to hang up.
Yeah, can you call in and do that?
Okay. So do I need to hang up from this?
Wait a minute.
No, just call in from your house phone.
That's what I'm on.
Hold on. Hang up there and call it. No, don't call from your cell phone. Call from your house phone, honey.
It keeps kicking people off because it kicked me off twice, and I just call back in.
What is it? Why is it doing this? It's just the lines.
I want to give a shout out to a new listener. Hey, boo. What's up, my nigga? This is Michi. What's up, my nigga?
Bear with us. We're still having technical difficulties as we sit here and wait for Jason to fix the lines because I don't know what the hell is happening. All right, I think Jason fixed it. Jason, are you there?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Is that your house phone or cell phone?
This is my house phone. Do I need to reopen up the chat room?
No, you don't have to do nothing. The chat room is still there.
Okay.
Shout out to Mac Davis for sending me those pictures from American Horror Story. Or sending me the link. I did live for them. I don't know what's wrong with Switchboard tonight. It is acting kind of funny. So I do apologize if I can't get to everybody or whatever. But it is kind of like a deep show. And that's probably why it's happening, because everybody's calling in.
It's definitely a deep show. America Horror Story is everything.
The devil don't want us to do this.
Girl, you got a lot of nerve. Some of American Horror Stories, everything after 20 episodes unaired.
No.
Oh, bitch, you know what? Right,
I'm not talking about that American Horror Story.
Let me change up. Girl, I said stop. Girl, you're a mess. I got a couple of things to say. Oh, my God. All All right, let me go to this topic again really quickly. Tonight we talked about self-harm and giving up. I want to talk about suicide for a few moments right now. And so we're going to clear our minds really quickly about everything we talked about. And I just want to talk about suicide. I was speaking with somebody earlier in reference to suicide, and they had questions in reference to, you know, they lost someone, and they basically were, you know, still wondering to this day, you know, like what caused or, you know, what causes someone to get to that breaking point, you know, what is it? And somebody else may have brought up, you know, maybe they were already dealing with other issues and, you know, there was just certain things that was happening in their lives and things of that sort. But I just want to ask everybody really quickly, what is your opinion? And I mean, again, it might be something we already said, but I know that they're listening and stuff, so I just want to see what you guys feel. And I know some of you people do research and stuff and may have done research prior or may have done research in the past, or maybe you were coping with it or something. But what do you feel, and we're talking about people that actually take their lives. We're not talking about the ones that actually, you know, I was going to do it, I was angry or whatever. We're talking about the ones that really have done it and succeeded at it. What do you feel is that part of their life that causes that? Do you feel that it's because, what is your opinion on someone who has actually done it? Like, what do you feel was their breaking point or whatever? I don't know. But what do you feel about suicide itself, Jason?
I mean, myself,
Jason,
I personally think that it's a selfish act. And the reason that I say it's a selfish act, because after I tried to take my life and then I thought about it, and once I reconnected with my family the way that I wanted to be with my family, I realized that if I had left this world, I leave so many people behind that have to pick up the pieces from what I did. So when you kill them, so by them killing themselves.
Oh, man, that's a good point.
When you kill yourself, you leave so many people behind, because then they're left wondering, well, what didn't I do? What could I have done? Why did that happen? So many unanswered questions, because they're never going to get answers to, because you chose to be a coward and take your own life. But then there are times when I think about people that are really, really sick off with cancer or with something else, and they can't take the pain and they can't take the suffering anymore, and they do it for that. So, but that's still a selfish reason, but I can understand that reason more. But to just take your life now because you don't think that there's anyone there, it's just, I don't know. But I think it's a selfish act.
Or you had enough. Yeah, you feel like you had enough. Bishop, say something quickly about suicide, because I got to get on something else
I ain't going to even say that much. What he just said, man, the key thing he just said was, man, other people got to pick up my pieces if I committed suicide. My family have to pick up my pieces and say, what did I do? You know, and the thing is, man, oh, yes, it's very selfish. Yeah, I commend that, yes.
I agree. Calvin?
I don't agree with Jason. I do say that people that commit suicide, I think it's just to the point to where they just, I think they've given up. I don't think that it's selfish at all, because the one thing that you should be worried about is yourself. I mean, yes, it's nice to live for your family and your friends and everything, but I can't stress this enough. The person that you have to live for is yourself. I think the reason that people do it are usually for small reasons, and it's because they let a lot of little small reasons build them up to that. Actually, my own doctor told me about how his father had committed suicide, and he found him in a bathtub, and, you know, it was something that he would never thought his father would have done, nothing that his father ever had talked about or have ever done before. It's that one day that takes you over the edge to where you're just like, fuck it.
I'm done. And when you're done, you just can't bring yourself back.
Okay. Well, I think you can bring yourself back, definitely. But I do know that those days do come when you feel like that's it, I just can't do it no more. But then that's when faith, as well as, you know, love within yourself, step into play. But, you know, I think you got to start, if anything, and I do agree with you, Calvin, as well, but I do agree with Jason, I do think it is a selfish act. Because there are some, there is people out there that do care. We may not see them, or we feel so empty, but somebody does. And they, even if they're not out there, somebody looking over us does. And even if it is, you know, you feel that you, they're not looking over you or whatever, but you're, it's not your job to do that. You know, you're supposed to live. That's what you do all your life, is to live, not to give up, but to live. That's what you're here for, to live and to keep living. So I don't think that, you know, killing yourself is the worst thing. I think, you know, I think that there's so many things out there now. We have so many things in our hands right now. I want to go back down the line, but I do want to say that we do have many things that a lot of people didn't have years ago. You know, we have different groups that we can be a part of. We have different communities we can be a part of. It's not even just about going to a center no more. You can sit here and join a group on Facebook or social media or you know, on a webcam casting or anything like that and be a part of something and help other people and stuff like that. You're, even you people that are on the phone right now, you guys have a following and people that listen and people that hate, but people that still listen and stuff. So think about the people you're hurting when you say, you know, when you give up or when you throw in the towel and stuff. You may be, you know, causing somebody else to feel the repercussions of that. So I don't think that giving up is the right thing. But Michi, suicide, what is your thoughts really quickly?
Really quick, my thoughts on suicide. I think when a person gets to a point of suicide, it's the point when they refuse to utilize the outlets that are there. They can, you pretty much block out anything that is or could be there for you. And like so many people have said, you know, you get to a place where you feel like you're alone, nobody's there. But you know, if you never pick up a phone or you never try to reach out, how do you know? It's hard for people to reach out because of, like so many people have said, trust issues.
Yeah, there is.
But you have to learn. But one thing that somebody said, a couple people said, is also is we have to learn to love yourself. And I think when you get to a point of suicide, you forgot about loving yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mm-hmm. stop loving yourself first, and everything that you put before yourself begins to crumble, then you feel like your world has collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't stand in the world. You let the world stand around you, and you put you first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shamika, you've been silent because I know you've been getting disconnected. Anything you wanted to say about suicide?
Shamika?
I don't know if she got disconnected again. I know everybody's phone has been carrying. All right, Melissa?
Suicide? I think that it's a very selfish act. It's very selfish. And like Jason said, I think he hit it on the nose. Like, you have to love yourself and not care what other people think or say about you. Because, like I said before, people put themselves in certain positions and then they don't know how to get themselves out of it, honey. Then they, some people say they don't have friends. They don't, people shady. They don't know how to trust, who to trust. Honey, you being around shady people, you hanging around shady people, and you putting yourself in these situations. Like, go find some new damn friends that, you know what I'm saying, that can relate to you or chill, you know, like, whatever. But,
like, stop being so damn selfish and killing yourself, because some people have family. Like, you know, like, I didn't get into all that earlier, but, like, you know, if I was to kill myself today, my mother would go through it, my sister, my nieces, my nephews, you know, everybody will basically go through it. And some people don't think about that. Some people don't think about the people that really do love them. It's people out there that really do love you and care for you, whether it's family, friends, whoever, and yeah, taking your life, and then what that person is going to be stuck with.
Yeah, you're right. But, we got 9 minutes left into the show before we go into record mode, so please call in. So you got 9 minutes left into the record mode before we go into record mode, so please call in 347-215-6820. But, yeah, I do agree with you, Melissa, but there's also a lot of people. Again, we're not just talking about the scene itself, but there are a lot of people, many teenagers out there that are just coming out, again, that don't understand. You have teenagers that are not even a part of this scene or anything like that, but, you know, they're becoming a part of the lifestyle, and they're being bullied in school, and their family doesn't understand them, and a lot of them are taking their lives too. You know, over the past couple of months, you know, over the past couple of years, I've been hearing, you know, little 12, 13, 14-year-old people taking their lives, making YouTube videos and stuff like that because they can't handle it. And, you know, again, there's a young generation out there, and they just don't know what to do. And like what Michi said earlier, it's like about trust as well. When you feel like you can't trust nobody, you know, you can't even trust, you know, these queens, these people, then you don't have no one to go there. You can't go to your family. You can't go to people at school. You're so afraid that everybody's going to spill your tea or whatever, and you feel so alone with it. And that's when a lot of people throw in the towel. But again, like I said, there's so many avenues out there. If you do your research, you'll realize that you're truly not alone. Like I've said, I had this conversation with a lot of different people about many different issues, and you realize that you are not alone when it comes to this. You're not alone when it comes to this at all. Shamika, I got you back on another line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Y'all can't hear me. See, I'm not playing with the switchboard tonight, y'all. It ain't hurting me twice. I'm about to be flying.
I don't know why it hangs you up. But anything you want to say about suicide really quickly?
No, I don't think I have much to say because everybody hit the nail on the head and I don't want to repeat things. But,
okay. Yeah,
the thing I really feel bad about is with the younger kids especially, because a lot of them are still in that kind of preteen stage, that kind of puberty stage, and they really don't know and they're really confused. And I feel like they aren't getting the help, like the counseling and stuff they need. Like, especially like with me going through Katrina and stuff like that as a child, I was only in 8th grade. And I had a lot of my friends die during a storm and stuff like that. So them and their whole family. So it was like we never got the help we needed. We never got counseling, anything. They put me in anger management once I got to Texas. And I didn't even have an anger problem. I just cursed on my teacher the first day because she stooped down to me and was like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Shamika." And she was like, "Okay, can you read?" And I clicked out like, "Bitch, are you serious?" Like, I went to an honest Catholic school. Like, "Bitch, don't play with me." Like, I don't know. It was just a lot. Like, for real, it was just a lot. And I feel like I didn't get the help I needed as far as mentally, like with a lot of things that was going on and how I was, like, placed in a hotel for almost half a year. And it's, like, still a lot of people haven't recovered, and a lot of them are dead developmental problems, and a lot of them did kill themselves. Like, they had a girl who went to school with my sister. She went to New York and jumped out a tree. Some shit happened. After the storm, she jumped out a tree to her death. Some shit. I don't know. It's just too much. I feel like when you know you have a problem or when people see that you have a problem, somebody should get you some type of help.
Jasmine, can I say one more thing? Just a small thing. Just to touch on what Shamika said, and you have to know the signs. 4 out of 5 teens who have committed suicide or attempted suicide have actually given signs, and people just don't know what the signs is. So if you learn the signs, then you can save a lot of people's lives.
That is true.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to listen for the silent cries, like the caller earlier. He has said he had still had a mental state. So that was kind of, to me, I took it as a silent cry for help. So that's why I asked him, did he have anybody still around that he can still talk to? Because you never know, you know, what a person goes to. They can mention something that sometimes will bypass and think like, oh, okay, and pay nothing to it. But that person may be crying out to you, but they just really don't want to reach out and say it. They just kind of throw it through a conversational standpoint.
You're right. Well, we have 5 minutes before we go into record mode, so I just want to say this to a lot of people, and then I'm going to change up the topic. We didn't really get a chance to talk about, you know, fighting, attacking, and murder and stuff like that, but, I mean, it's all in the same lunch. Y'all get the point, the breaking point. We did talk about self-harm, giving up, and suicide and stuff like that, but, you know, a lot of the same things are happening with people that, you know, get to that point where they're fighting, they're attacking, murdering, stuff. Maybe we can talk about that next week or so. I'm not sure because I think somebody hit me up about a good show for next week. I have to speak with Rodney about that. But in reference to what we talked about tonight, I do want to say, you know, a couple of things really quickly. One thing for you people that are out there, realize that you're not alone when it comes to everything that you're facing. I know that we live in a world where there's no trust. I personally go through it myself. You know, you just feel like you can't trust anybody. J-Rock was 100% right when he said maybe sometimes you need to talk to somebody you don't know. And maybe you feel like, well, they don't know that, I don't know them, they're not going to understand, so forth and so on. But sometimes maybe it's good to just be able to say something. They may not even have the answer, but just to get it off your chest or just to release it sometimes kind of helps. Because sometimes you got to realize that when you hear yourself say things, sometimes it's like, wow, did I really say that? Wow. When you say that, you start saying, did I really mean that? Was that how I really was feeling? And when you hear yourself say things, then you realize that, wow, maybe it wasn't as serious as I thought it was. I can get through this. I'm actually stronger than I thought I was. So kind of think, you know, I think everybody gave you a little bit of something tonight. You know, if you feel like you're alone, realize that you're not alone. Find help out there. There is help out there. It could be from a stranger. It could be from people that don't know you. It can be from people that do know you or people that have experienced something that you are experiencing. But whatever you do, don't go through this alone. Don't face it alone. Whatever you do, don't face it alone. It's a depressing world out there. I'm not going to lie. It is sad what we go through. It is sad the way we live our lives, the lifestyle we live, the community that we're a part of. Even as we're doing the show right now, there's a whole bunch of drama going on within the group and stuff. It's just a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even know why you people are going back and forth with people in there. Y'all shouldn't even be going back and forth with these people. It's no shade. Nobody should be, you know, going back and forth. If anybody feels a certain way about the show or the people on the show or anything, I will be the first one to apologize for anything that does take place on these shows or within the groups or something like that. I apologize for anybody's actions. Because me personally, within my heart, I wouldn't want anybody to feel bad. Now, all this name-calling and attacking and reading each other and stuff, that's what y'all do. That's how it is. But I just don't feel that it should get to the point where it really is hurting someone or really mentally...
You shouldn't have to apologize because they shouldn't if they get to that point.
Melissa, no, don't do that. I'm stepping up and apologizing for that. If it gets to the point where, you know, you guys can't handle it no more, or whatever, then I ask you to, again, remove yourself from the situation. If you know that this is how the things go around here, if you know that this is how the group is, the show is, and all the rest of that stuff, then the best thing for you to do is remove yourself from the situation. And then for everybody else that wants to jump on bandwagons, because, again, I don't agree with the stuff that happens, y'all need to stop jumping on those bandwagons, for real, because y'all, a lot of y'all are hurting within yourselves, but yet y'all jumping on the bandwagon to hurt the next person, and that's not right at all. Now, that's what I'm saying about the people that's feeling victimized or feeling like they're being hurt. Now, I'll say this to you people as well. Stop putting yourself out there. Stop putting yourself out there for people to attack you. That's what I feel that you guys need to stop doing. When you guys post these pictures of yourself, like I talked about with the porn videos, I've said it with the nude pictures, I've said it with the ads and stuff, then be prepared for what is to come. This is what's going to happen. You guys know this. You guys are all grown. You know what they're going to do to you. So be prepared for it. I don't believe that it should be a lynch mob out there, no. I don't believe that there should be 300 top posts on everybody attacking an individual or whatever. But just know that this is what's going to happen when you put yourself out there. Unfortunately, that is the lifestyle that we are a part of. It's like celebrities. When you step into the limelight, you step into the spotlight, then if they get that photo of you, the paparazzi catches you on a bad day going in the store or sitting at a bench or at a hotel, getting in the pool, or you out on a date, or you were drunk, or you coming out of a club. They get them people all the time. Well, you step into this spotlight over here, it's the same thing. So be prepared for what's going to happen. And don't think everybody's your girlfriend where you can take nude pictures of yourself or these body shots of you thinking that you're cute and stuff, and it's not going to get out. It's not going to get out. It's happened. It keeps happening, and we see it happening. We see the girls in the videos. We see the girls voguing. We see the girls with their bodies and all the rest of that stuff. It gets out, and when it gets out, they just are going to get you. That's what it's like. That's just the spotlight. You are in the spotlight, and that makes you a target. We all are targets. Remember that. If you were just some sideline spectator, some newcomer who really didn't have a name, you just would not matter. It would be laughed at, and it would go down the bottom of the post. We see it all the time. I'll leave this right here. I'll post this right here. We see these bad pictures of these bad people. Everybody laughs at it for a few minutes, and it goes down. But when you have a name, it turns into 100 and some topics. Remember that. Remember that. And if y'all don't like what I'm saying, oh well. I don't care if you don't like what I'm saying. I'm just speaking the fucking truth. So on that note, there you go. I'm leaving it at that. It's time for American Horror Story.
Yes, American Horror Story.
Callie.
There you go.
Man.
Jason, don't say nothing. Don't even say nothing. Kelly, did you watch the show?
Yes, bitch. It scared the shit out of me, bitch. I gagged with that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I hear anybody laugh. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show y'all exactly how I'm not playing. If anybody even laughs at Kelly, I'm going to hang up on them.
Why would you hang up on them?
Because that's what they're doing, and this is what you're getting your life off of, because you know that you have all these little minions piggybacking off of your little cart.
Nobody don't piggyback off of me, but I did watch it.
Tell me one thing that happened.
Miss Seg, girl, child. I went into the group, Miss Seg, and I seen that video, Miss Seg, girl, of Miss Jardine saying it. It was a horror.
Janice, I know that you're listening. I told this to Kelly. I'm going to make a grand prize category. I want you and Kelly verbal abode at a ball, mini grand.
Maybe.
Let me know if you're interested.
Cool.
Y'all going all this back and forth thing on here. Why don't y'all take it to the runway?
Miss A,
Kelly don't want her on the runway.
I don't want her, period, Miss A.
Kelly, I need your three-fourth two-piece.
Yeah, girl, now you reaching.
Do a read session.
Okay. But but I did hear about the real American Horror Story. Miss Gabby killed herself tonight and stuff.
Jasmine, I'm going to hang up at this time. I would like to tell everyone, you know, to take care, and I will talk to you all later.
Good night.
Who's that?
J-Rock. Jason, did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it. I had to update myself. I didn't want to get hung up on for laughing.
Bishop, did you watch it?
Man. Oh, my God.
Okay, just answer. Yes. Calvin, did you watch it? Michi?
No, I've been on this show. It comes on at
10
o'clock here.
Yeah, it ain't come on up here yet.
Right.
But
I forgot,
you know what?
I came on, but ZVR.
But you know what? You know, I'm about to bid y'all a farewell, mistake, or you know, because y'all about to get into the real American Horror Story. But that one that I seen. Please, girls, do not click on. I want to tell y'all, I love y'all all. Practice safe sex, Miss Sang. Make sure all of y'all hit my sister up on Saturday, Miss Sang, for her birthday, Miss Sang, and wish her a happy birthday. I love you, dear sister. Call me later, honey. But, girls, don't click on that horror story in that group, Miss Sang. You might have nightmares, Miss Sang. That shit may make me commit suicide tonight if I watch it again. Good night.
Good night,
Kelly.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
One of these days, Kelly. Kelly, you know, you're getting older, honey, and somebody's going to come behind you and get you, Kelly. One of these days, someone's going to get you. Melissa, did you see it?
Yeah, I seen it halfway.
Shamika?
Of course. Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. 443-570.
Is that nine?
Motherfoot long. 443-570. Okay. Somebody's still watching TV and they got their TV. Somebody's just being so fucking rude.
It ain't me.
I'm on mute.
It's not me.
I'm your aunt.
All right, I'm trying to bring Justin on, but
muted.
What is that noise?
Somebody just muted me.
Justin?
This is not Justin.
Muted.
Who are you?
Hello?
443-570.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can I hear you, sweetie?
Justin, are you there?
No, we're going. Justin's muted. Because it won't go to him. 443-570.
Can you hear me now?
Did y'all mute me?
Who? No, y'all not muted.
Oh, okay. You. This is Mac Davis from the chat room.
Five. Who?
Mac Davis from the chat room.
Hi, how are you?
That's Mr.
I'm good. I finally stayed up long enough to call in to talk about this show.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay, so you stay right there. Let me try to get Justin again. Justin, I'm trying to come to you, but the switchboard is acting crazy. So hopefully it'll unmute you in a second. Justin, and watch it unmute you again. See, I muted you. So I'm going to leave it just like that. All right, so we got...
muted.
Jason, Bishop, Calvin, Michi, Melissa, Shamika, the caller that just called in, and Justin, I'm trying to come to you, but Calvin, why are you going back and forth with Janice?
I was about to ask that.
I mean,
I'm
why
unbothered.
Are you going back and forth with her?
I'm unbothered.
Just leave it alone.
You don't owe that centaur no explanations.
Y'all just need to stop. Don't go. Just stop. It's the holiday season. Why are y'all doing this? I just don't get it. I guess. Anyway, Shamika, you want to give a recap? I know Justin did last week. Do you want to do it tonight? Justin, I want to come to you, but the switchboard won't let me unmute you. But, Shamika?
Well, this whole episode had me on the edge of my motherfucking seat. Baby, when she tricked, when Auntie Myrtle in the beginning, like, decided, I guess, that she was going to get Cordelia eyesight back for her. And she, no. Let me start from the beginning with Hank in his bag. When Hank in his bag, basically, he was trained to be a witch hunter. That's what it seems as if the... I guess it must be a yearly thing once they become a certain age. You know, they go to the woods and they kill a first, you know, witch together. But that certain witch kind of turned his ass and was going to light his ass on fire. And his father kind of moved out the way so he could get burned instead. And he ended up planting one in her head. So after that, it was when Auntie Myrtle got to Cordelia and noticed that, you know, she wanted her to get her sight back.
Justin.
Hello?
Justin, you're there. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, Justin, you're there.
What's going on?
You talking about America?
All right. The system, it looks like it has a delay, but you're unmuted now, so I'm going to leave it just like that. But let Shamika finish. Go ahead, Shamika.
Okay, so I Myrtle fucking turned it in the first 20 minutes. She had me rolling. This bitch set up the other people of the, I guess, the witch council and, like, gave them, made it to where they were, like, temporarily paralyzed and took out one of each of their eyes. So that fucking turned it for me. Like, I love that boy. I'm sorry. I didn't
that
think
was over.
Murder. Yeah, I didn't think she had it in her to do no shit like that. And then I didn't think she even had no power to even give Cordelia her eyes like that. So that was a big thing to me also. And another thing with what's her name, Marie LeBeau and the head or whatever. Did y'all see how the body was still moving and shit? That shit was so funny. With Madame Delphine, how her body was just it. Like her body was just standing like
a gag. A gag when she put her hand like child.
She said, "What did you say?" And I came here. She said, then she said something, don't see what you said, what the hell said. I can't get over it. But I knew they were going to have to become an alliance either way it went because it just would make sense to. But I think Hank really turned in this episode. Even though he died, he ended up dying, I think he turned it. Because I didn't expect him to turn on Marie LeBeau like that. But I knew he probably had
to. So that
to.
That really shows that he really did love her.
He really loved her.
He really was true.
That. He did. Regardless of whatever he told his dad, he don't want his dad to know that he fell in love with a witch. But from the beginning, I think he felt more intrigued by them than wanting to kill them. I think he was just forced to kill them.
All right. So let's get to the highlights, honey. Do y'all really think that Gabby is dead?
No.
No, she's a Buddha doll. No.
No, just so like in the first couple of episodes when she slit her wrist and she's done other stuff.
No, y'all have to understand that he was using the silver bullets that kills witches.
But no, she shot herself.
He shot her first.
Either way, it was a silver bullet. She never shot herself with a silver bullet. She never did anything that a witch could die from that can kill a witch, regardless if she shot herself or not. Now, I think she's coming back.
I think she's coming back, but I don't know. Like, how would they
do it? But you guys think that they would bring her back, being that she had switched sides like
that? Yeah, because they still need her. They still need her, regardless. If
they brought that white bitch back, they better bring my sister back, girl.
Yeah.
But did y'all see, did y'all see that she got that woman together at the end? She got, together at the end. She was crying. That turned it for me.
Which one?
Which one?
She got the woman together. That woman was crying at the end, looking at them, listening to them songs.
The Motown Washington and stuff like that. That shit was funny with Madam Dolphin. She was crying and shit. Oh, that was hilarious. I saw that shit. But the thing was, I didn't expect that. Like, I didn't know. Maybe because I didn't know Hank's father had nothing to do with him being a witch hunter, but they really set Cordelia up to be blinded. That's some fucked up shit.
Well, I think tonight answered a lot of questions because now we notice that it's not gonna the whole season wasn't gonna turn into the witches battling each other, but that there was a bigger picture there. So I'm kind of glad that did happen.
Do you think they're gonna join alliances? Like they're gonna get together?
Yeah.
There is no thing.
They have to.
You didn't see the ending, Melissa?
No, I seen the ending, but she was going to ask her, like, basically, she didn't say, like, she was going to join, honey.
They're going to join.
I'm going to let you know why.
Because
in the beginning,
preview.
She told that bitch, honey, we're going to join. That bitch was like, man, I'm not joining you, bitch. She's like, they're going to come for you anyway.
Yeah,
honey.
But now she saw that, they really turned it for her ass. So she had no choice.
Time your word.
The fact that Angela Bassett went to the school, that shows that she had enough. Like, okay, bitch, I'm coming to you now. You guys are no longer coming to my hair salon. I'm coming to you.
Right.
They also killed all her people.
Decades ago with the other Supreme, they once were alliances. It was something that broke them. That's just like what movie was that when they kept on getting alliances every once in a while? I can't think of what movie that was.
This is turning into be just like True Blood. If you notice in True Blood, I said this on the post. You notice this in True Blood where, the vampires had vampire hunters. Now you got witch hunters. That's what I can compare to both shows. But I think this is going top True Blood tremendously.
It already has top True Blood.
True Blood
said 5 million people
tuning in or
some shit like that.
It's gonna top True Blood. That's why it's got too many gags.
This show has gave a lot of people life tonight. I know the next week I guess we get to meet the devil finally because that guy with that crazy face, I'm guessing, is Satan. The next show. That's what I meant to say. He was Satan. I'm just guessing that is the Satan guy.
Do y'all like Cordelia better blind or with her eyesight? I like her better blind. Like, I want her to go back blind.
I like her better having lost her eyesight and gotten it back because it gives her new clarity as well to be able to do what's going on around her.
I like the vision she had. Like, I think that was like that made her a lot more powerful when she had this vision.
But she don't have it no more.
That's what I'm saying. Which one do y'all like? But wait, did y'all get into how when Hank was shooting the girls up in the headdress or whatever? We say headdress. Did y'all see how one of them bitches came at him with a knife?
Did you catch how the mother killed her son at the end?
That was a gag.
Man should have stayed with his ass. Because, you know, the mother killed the husband. She automated them doors to lock on his ass with that being there knowing he was allergic. Then she turned it. And then it was a bitch from her book club that was sucking him off, and he fell in love and wanted to leave off for the lady who was sucking his dick.
We don't know if he's dead yet. I mean, we don't know if he's dead. So
I'm sure he's dead.
Caller 443-570. Did you want to say something about it?
Well, I think that the reason Marie Laveau went to the coven at the end was because they had killed all of her people. If you look back at the pictures that they showed, everybody in there was dead. So that's the reason she went there, because she had nothing else at her shop. But I thought this was a great episode, especially with the melon baller when she took the eyes out. That was to put it in with the, oh, disgusting, but I loved it.
It's going to be real fear.
I thought something was going to happen where she was able to, now that she has their eyes, that maybe she had certain powers of theirs or something like that. I thought that was going to happen for a little bit, but then, you know, it didn't happen. I gagged that she really killed them, though. Like, when they showed her cutting up the bodies and putting them in acid, I said, oh, my God.
She had fun doing that. She had a little bit too much fun.
She is fierce.
But no, I think with Myrtle, she had always been reserved, or been a reserved one in the coven, and being that laid back chick that she's
always been an underdog.
Yeah, and instead of doing that, I guess she said, "Well, fuck it, turn up." She said she's gonna turn up and get everybody.
But the little gay witch, what would you call it, a warlock? That she was so funny, like how you used to talk and stuff.
He splashed his own drink in his own face. I thought that was funny.
Hold on. You know what else made me gag?
What do y'all think about missing, Chad, I be forgetting their names. What do y'all think about the boy now that she gave him, little bit of his mind?
I'm glad that he's a guard dog. I think she put him together so he can transform or something like that. She put him together some way.
I mean, you had to know it was kind of coming. You knew he was going to be like a Frankenstein character. I mean, like, he's strong as shit. He done beat up 2 or 3 people. Like, I knew it was going to come.
Did he just kill the dog?
It sounds like he broke his neck, right? That's what I'm saying. He killed the motherfucker. So.
He was playing with the dog too rough, and he broke his neck.
It wasn't even rough. He's just a monster now. He's too strong.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
He's a ghoul.
The lightest touch. That's some crazy shit, though. This is really, like, amazing.
I don't know if I would say that boy is dead, though, the one that his mom smothered. Only reason I said it is, why would they even go into that part of the story if they're going
to
kill him off just like that?
Well, they didn't bring his mother back to life last week.
I don't. Why would he want revenge after she made him fucking dish with Ajax? Bitch, please. Girl.
But you think she would gag if Nan got them to bring him back?
She is. She probably would.
That might happen.
Nan wants some of that meat.
But see, that's what it is about this show. Like, personally, I don't see, as long as Misty's around,
I don't see nobody really dying. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see nobody. If they could bring Myrtle back from being burnt at the stake, which is the ultimate way to kill a witch,
besides the silver bullet.
Like, I didn't even know nothing about. When I seen the silver bullet, I was like, what they doing? Now they bringing werewolves into this? That's what I thought was going to happen. But killing a witch is always, you know, for ages, burning him at the stake. And if Misty could bring a bitch from being burnt at the stake alive, then she could bring somebody back from a silver bullet. She could bring somebody back from anything, honey.
I do want to react to what I said. I do want to repent on what I said last week, though. I don't think that Missy's going to be the Supreme. I do kind of think that I do think they may slip Nan under the covers, and I mean, and she might become the Supreme.
I think that Misty probably, this is my thing, I think Misty may become the Supreme because my thing is she hasn't had any formal training. She hasn't been around any other witches. And
right.
I think as you saw tonight, Cordelia was actually showing her. And for her to stand there and she's starting to learn how to control her power better, that's going to be some foolishness waiting to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see. I did have my dibs in on Nan being the Supreme. I'm really not thinking about the other little girl. The first lead girl that came on, I think either Nan or Misty are going to be the Supreme. That's going to be the catch.
Well, you know Angela Bassett. She said somebody is strong as hell in that house, and I believe on these next parts that Angela Bassett going to find out the one that knocked her down when she was when them dead people came out of the grave that she sat there. I believe she's gonna find out about that girl.
Yeah, I know, but that was the girl. I don't even think she's that strong. I mean, once you chop that zombie up, I think Marie Laveau was just a little weak then. I don't think that bitch is really that strong. Only thing that we know she do is fuck people and give them brain aneurysms.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that person.
But that's
I'm
the
talking
one that
about.
Made, that's the one that. But she's the one that knocked Angela Bassett out the sky.
Yeah,
right.
That's who I'm talking about. And Angela Bassett said they got a motherfucking strong ass bitch in that house.
But no, the one that I'm talking about is the one that you're talking about.
Oh, okay. So you're not talking about the girl. I was thinking you were talking about the girl that fucked them, and then they came along and both fucked that boy. That's what I was thinking you were talking about. The girl.
You have Madison. That's the one that got killed, and you have the other girl. I don't think anybody can think of her name. That's how irrelevant she's been in the last couple episodes. You know, I think that, yeah, she has some powers and stuff like that, but hers have not fully manifested, or they haven't shown them to you.
Right, because her power is success. I mean, if you really got to fuck somebody to kill them, what the fuck is the use of you having powers? You can't fuck everybody you don't like. Well, I mean, I guess you could if you was an escort, but damn.
But, hey, I just wanted to give y'all the, like, I checked out Insidious 2 the other night. I know this is off topic. It came out on pre-order, so I got it. And that is if you like horror movies, you got to check that out. I was thoroughly pleased by it. So if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it in the theater.
Yeah, that is a good movie, you guys.
I heard the total opposite. I heard it was not good at all. That's why I'm scared to get it.
It was really good.
You got to check it out.
It's on Comcast now.
No, I got it on Voodoo. I just went on and pre-ordered it, and yeah, it's tight.
Well, I'm gonna get it off Pirate Bay.
I'm gonna get it on.
What movie are y'all talking about?
I
want to
change up American Horror Story for a minute. Before we talk about Scandal for a little bit, I want to ask anybody: is anybody watch or because I'm late with it? Kelly just turned me on to it, and I actually had to catch up, and I still have to catch up. But has anybody been watching Houston Beauties?
Yes!
So what is that?
It is a gay show. It's a wonderful
show. The one with the people in the hair salon. And they went to the hair salon.
Yes.
And they got one transgender girl, which I love, Mia, I think that's her name.
Yeah, Mia, I love Mia, slash Ryan. Mia slash Ryan.
Yeah, that show right there, I don't want to talk too much about it. Maybe next week where I can catch up with all the episodes. But, bitch, if y'all haven't watched Houston Beauties, y'all need to watch
it.
It comes on the OWN network.
I can't hear you.
It comes on the OWN network, Oprah Winfrey's channel. And I was able to catch up with some of the episodes on YouTube because I couldn't find it anywhere else. But then I know yesterday and today, they played – they did a marathon on it, so I have them all recorded. But that show is really fucking ratchet. I mean, it's everything.
It is so ratchet.
Did it come on OWN?
Did you get to the part where Mia had her stun gun out?
Yes.
Why
haven't
got there
yet. Mia
Turns into name. That was my
borderline
name.
Hold on. Is Mia in the ballroom scene?
No.
This is. I think they're in Texas.
Yeah, they're in Houston, Texas, and it's just that show is a key. It's a reality show for anybody if you don't know what we're talking about. It's a reality show. It's about a beauty school in the hood of Houston, Texas. A whole bunch of ratchet ass girls. There's a transgender on there. There's fag hags on there.
Ignorant ass old people.
It's just a key. The way they be reading, arguing, fussing, fighting, attacking, it's just a mess. A whole bunch of girls locked up in a motherfucking building trying to do hair, reading and hating on each other. Y'all think we bad? Honey, they're a mess. They just a mess.
But you know, it's worth the watch. It's funny as hell, though. It is funny as hell.
It's really funny. And for the transgender, like, you can't help but to feel sorry, because one minute she's a she, then she's a he. One minute she's Mia. Next minute they're calling her Ryan. She's a full femme queen, full transgender woman, titties and everything. But they still want to call her he. Don't want to allow her.
Don't allow her
to use the. She got to use the boys' bathroom. Miss Thing, like the last episode I was catching, is Miss Thing's in there supposed to be doing hair, but she's talking to her clients on the phone, meeting them in the parking lot.
They put all her business out there.
It's a key. So I know I'll catch up with all of them.
Her professor was like, stop using the phone in the class. I mean, she keeps taking those calls, honey. She got to take those clients, darling.
Desmond said she didn't want to talk about the show too much, but I know too many girls that have gone through that type of situation. You trying to get up out of your situation, but you got to live. And a lot of the show, even though it's funny, it's real life, because I know people who go through those real situations. So I do enjoy the show, and I'm like somebody else said on the line, I'm shocked that Oprah Winfrey has something like that on her channel. But it's actually a good show.
Exactly.
I don't like how ratchet them old women are. I don't like how ignorant they are. They gossip and they talk about it, especially that one Miss J or whatever her name is. They're really ignorant.
Well, I mean, but you always have to think that if those people, if they grew up in, and that's how they knew how to address people, they're, it's going to be hard for them to change or know how to correctly talk to, I guess, transgender people or just people in general. They might not think that they're being harmful or trying to upset anybody. They're just, you know.
She is. Because at one point she's nice to Mia. And she's like, Mia. But as soon as she get mad, Ryan, come here, Ryan. And it's like, what, bitch? You really trying to break a bitch down now?
Yo. All I know,
guys watch Houston Beauties, please, if you guys haven't watched it yet, please find a way to watch it. I can't tell you where to watch it. I caught him on YouTube.
I'm looking at YouTube right now also.
Go to Comcast On Demand. And they have episodes on there too. If you have Comcast.
All of us don't have Comcast, girl.
Comcast, let me go.
Comcast. Remember,
you're speaking to girls from all over the country, honey. We got California, Louisiana, Florida, New York.
That's why I said if we have Comcast.
I got Comcast.
If you got Comcast, like Calvin just said. You know, Calvin been having a little attitude, honey.
Does he see what I mean about tough skin and stuff?
Calvin was a sweet person in the very beginning, and that little aggressiveness is starting to shine on his side, too. But don't forget,
careful. Let me say one thing about that. Y'all sit here and say that I need to grow a tough skin, But sometimes with growing a tough skin, you have to grow a tough attitude, too. Because if I let a lot
you
of
do.
People say, well,
but remember,
you do, but
remember
to
who to have that attitude
right.
with.
Right.
You got to remember
where
to throw it. I know. I'm just saying. Just remember where to throw it and where you need to have it at.
Yes, direct that to the American Horror Story.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Calvin.
You're directing it in the wrong direction.
Because that direction is irrelevant. That girl been irrelevant, man, the whole time. I'm bothered with her now, man.
Well, I was being nice to her. So, I mean, like, you're right now.
But there's no need to be. You don't have to. One thing you don't have to do, and this is what I try to tell everybody, you don't owe nobody an explanation.
Okay, if they're not paying your bills or feeding you or giving you that good at night, you have none at all.
How many times have I said on this show, do not let people rent space in your head if they ain't paying you rent?
You just don't have to. It's just not even for
you
what.
You gotta take a page
because
out Chris'
book. They're not gonna respect you. They're not gonna respect you at the end of the evening. I respect Chris a lot. I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who may not be affiliated with this ballroom scene, but baby, she got tough skin. Oh, she do.
Oh,
she do.
Yes, indeed.
The last few weeks, they made so many pictures of the same girl. I can't even tell. They didn't compare her to so many things, everything but a child of God, and she don't care.
Mm-hmm.
She still smiles on her Instagram pictures every day.
But Jasmine, like me and you talking about, I just need to find out where to fit in at, and I'm doing that.
Yeah, just, you know, it's just about being yourself. Just be yourself. Be the sweet person that you are, honey. That's all you have to do is be the sweet person that you are.
Sweet gets trampled on.
You.
No, it don't.
Sometimes
you have to learn how to pay it, and then sometimes
you have to learn. I'm going to share this with you. When I came out, I had a bunch of girlfriends, and I went to private school. And they all went to city schools, and they all lived in the hood, and I lived in the hood too, but we didn't live in the hood like they did. So when we would sit around and get around each other and stuff, and they would have their reading sessions, and they were like, oh, Miss Jason, you so late, you so this, you so that, you dress like a white boy, you act like a white boy, what you think, you Jewish? And I took all of that. And I listened to them, and I let them read me, and I laugh, and I'm like, okay, girl. But y'all the same girls that's living 6 or 7 in a one-bedroom apartment. Y'all the same girls that when I got my job, first job working at McDonald's or wherever I worked at, y'all was asking me to buy y'all drinks or pay y'all way into the club. But I'm the late one. So now the read is on you because the late one is always the one that's on time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you'll learn one day, just like you reach a breaking point.
You'll learn, child. It'll take time. It ain't going to happen overnight.
Mm-mm. Because that one girlfriend
is
going to sleep with your man or something like that, and you're going to reach your breaking point. And I'm saying, baby, when you reach that breaking point, they're going to be like, that was Calvin that said all of that?
Child. Okay. Damn, the time went by so fast. Scandal really quickly. Can we get a recap of what happened last Thursday?
Well, Olivia wanted to help her mom. She tried to help her mom get out the country. Olivia's dad put her on the no-fly list. They went through every which way they could to get Olivia's mother out of the country. And when they finally got her out of the country, they found out that her mom was actually a terrorist, that her dad was actually saving Olivia from her mom, which was a terrorist. Now, that was just the overall subject topic. But then there was the under topic of Cyrus finding out that his man slept with the vice president's husband, which I don't know if they really slept together. I really think because they knew it made it seem like it or whatnot. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But now,
if anybody think they did not sleep together, you're a fool. They fucked.
Okay. If you've been in a committed relationship that long and he did some crap like that, oh, no. But I don't know. That was an interesting scenario that they played.
So have anybody ever been in that something where your fiance or your boyfriend or whatever pushed you to the point to where you did something that reckless?
That's another show, child. That's another show.
Yeah, that's revenge.
I found out who my boyfriend was talking to on the side, and I slept with the person he was talking to. Just as revenge.
Oh, hell no.
Right.
That's revenge,
man. I think every gay man done that at least one time.
Yeah, I had that. That was nice.
You slept with him, or what? I'm not supposed to sleep with him, too. We didn't both slept with him.
I can't say I've ever done that, and that's just, in all honesty, I feel that, you know.
How old are you, Calvin?
I'm 25. As much as a softy as I am.
You still got life to live. You still got life
to
live.
Yeah, I do. But as much as a softy as I am, if you don't want to be with me, honey, then you don't want to be with me. I'd rather be in my room crying my eyes out and getting over it than to figure out to be with a man that don't really want me.
I don't cry over men no. I don't cry over men no more.
What I can say is, when I did that, I was young. I wouldn't do that now because of just the running the risk of whatever could happen in the middle of doing all of that, because karma does roll back at you. But at that time, shit, that's the type of person I was. I was evil. So, and
well,
I was evil about the situation.
That must be the slut in me, because my motto is, if he'll cheat on me, he'll cheat with me. So, hey.
Oh, and I forgot to say that the vice president killed her husband that day, too.
Well,
what?
We don't know that that's him. We don't know that that's him laying on that floor. That could be the person that was trying to blackmail her.
They showed his face.
They did show his face?
They showed his face.
Yeah, they showed his face.
But wait, did she find out about what had happened? Oh, because I did not watch. Scandal is just not my favorite show to watch. I watch it from time to time.
Yeah,
but
she
wait,
knows Cyrus, show, Cyrus showed her.
Yeah, Cyrus showed her the pictures.
But then
Cyrus.
He lied to
and
James.
She read Cyrus,
but then,
honey. She
but then
read
he
Cyrus
lied,
fiercely.
And then he lied to James and told James that he didn't show her them pictures.
He did lie and say he didn't show her pictures.
So that's why I'm confused about, is that really him laying on that ground? Because if... after all that, why would you call Osiris, of all people, would you call him to tell him you committed a sin?
Because he's the only person that knows what really happened and why she would have killed him.
I see a lot of tit for tat going on. You know, he found out he slept with, he wanted to catch him cheating, so he ended up cheating. And then he found out that his husband cheating, and now that they're wanting a divorce, he showed the vice president the phone. So it's about
the tit for tat. Cyrus is old mean, messy queen, boy.
Okay. But y'all need to take heed to them, because that's how you handle a relationship. You cheat and you get through it. You don't just say, fuck this, and I'm walking away.
Shut your SOG.
Bitch, we got years invested in this house. Another motherfucker ain't going to come up here and live in my house.
But at the end of the day, that's what I was saying, Jason. At the end of the day, why fight for something that's not there no more? Like somebody said, once your trust is on empty, I know there's just a bunch. It's going to take a shitload of shit to refill that trust. If you don't want to be with me, then why try to fight if you don't want to be with me?
Well, Kevin, this is my thing. Okay, number one, just because a person cheats does not mean that they don't want to be with you or whatever, whatever. Sometimes people get caught in the heat of the moment. You have to give them benefit of the doubt on that. But at the same time,
if they do it once, they'll do it again.
I mean, yeah, that's true. People are human. I don't know. As far as relationship goes, I'm not going to be the one to say, oh, you fucked up, I'm out. And that's not going to be the case. But in that scenario, I was very young, and I was very, very, that's the type of person I was. I said, oh, I'm going to make you sure you learn your lesson. And matter of fact, I'm going to make sure you find out about it, da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? We squabble, we fought, but that's just not the type of person I am now. I can't do that. That's just,
I forgave people for cheating on me, but then what fucked up the relationship was the lack of trust that I had after that.
Did you forgive him?
Because then it becomes time, where are you going? Oh, my God, you going to the store? You was going to the store for 45 minutes. The store only 10 minutes away. You only got bread, milk, and cheese.
Yes!
So why are you there for 45 minutes? Yes! Girl, okay, so you said you're going to work. It takes you 15 minutes. Oh, I check your mileage. And then they just think anything like,
oh,
yes,
bitch, ain't nobody got time to do all that.
Oh, yeah, honey, I got time for all that.
It just sounds like
you're
being
let me see your phone. If you talking to me and I can't look at your phone, honey, then there's an issue. So why can't I see your phone? What you hiding? Why every time your phone rings, you going to the bathroom?
Well,
why
I'm a big one.
You're not paying that phone bill. You was not looking at that phone.
I must be the wrong kind of girl because I could care less about your phone going off, who texting you, and why they texting you. That's
well,
your
phone. Before it was okay, but then after the whole cheating thing happened, that's when you start to question every little action. So, oh, you going to work today? Why you got to put on cologne to go to work? Like, even though that they did that shit before, now it just seems like it's such a big deal. Oh, bitch, who you trying to smell for good for at work? Bitch, you working for this. You work in the pharmaceutical company. You cover up your whole body. So why you need cologne for?
Relationship over. Don't call me no more.
That's
exactly what I was
saying.
Too much.
Oh, who's that? Your little boyfriend call and tell him I said hi. I ain't got time. Yes, this we need a whole nother type of show for this. Yes.
Okay.
That's why, and speaking of that, maybe we should, because that's why I don't believe in monogamy, because I believe there's get to a certain point to where either you just believe you just don't want to be with a person no more, and you've been with them for so long, so you're just like, fuck it, I've been with them 30 years, might as well deal with them for the rest of the year. But then you see people that get divorced after 30, 40 years. I mean, it's a whole nother show.
Maybe it's just I'm the type of person now, out of sight, out of mind. What you do when I'm not around ain't none of my business. But when you in my company, cease and desist.
Yeah, that phone, I'm right. The phone thing annoys me, but as long as you know to put that phone on the table and put it on silent when you come to my house, to my abode, when we're dealing with each other or whatever, I'm good. When I'm spending time with you, you not all up on the phone texting back or whatever, we good. But if you start doing all that, then I start getting upset. That my me time is for me. All them other hoes is just secondary. I don't do all of that.
Well, maybe I'm at that age in my life where a man just serves one purpose, and after that one purpose is done, they can go on about their business.
I can tell with my girlfriends
and my kikis, you just serve that one purpose that they can't fulfill. Once that's done, you can text whoever the fuck you want to text, do what you want to do, till I want to do that again. Now, when I want to do that and we can't do that, that's when I'm going to have a problem.
That gets old, though. You want that companionship at some point in time.
Really?
At some point in a relationship. Companionship that your girlfriends cannot give you.
Right. Let's be a little bit honest. That's the reason I broke up with Edward. I'm getting all the sex and shit, but your friends getting the rest of the relationship, the talking, the conversation, the fun, the problem solving. Like, that's what I want to be in a relationship for, not just so you can fucking leave or fucking go home.
When I want to talk, I call Jasmine. Point blank. Jasmine is the only person, other than two other people, Jasmine is the only person that understands me and my madness. So when I want to talk, I call Jasmine. We can talk about TV.
And madness is exactly what it is, honey. Madness is exactly what it is.
We can talk about, and then sometimes you just, and then there's times, it's no shade, it's sometimes me and Jasmine just sitting on the phone, and we just breathing to each other.
Or I be driving somewhere, and I just be like, what you doing? And he just be listening to me drive. I don't feel like driving alone or something. And I'm like, all right, I'm about to go on this, so I'll call you back.
I don't know. There's certain people that I talk to certain things about. Like, if I need somebody to just listen to me, I call somebody else. If I need somebody to give me some true advice, I'll talk to my sister, I'll talk to my best friend. Or if I need somebody just to throw me a pity party at the moment, I'll call somebody else. Because I'd be in different moods.
Oh, well, don't call me for that one. I'm the wrong one for that one.
Y'all queens on Facebook is too much, honey. Why is y'all must be, this must be a fake profile. Look, I don't accept fake profiles, so you better be a real profile. Because if I find out you're a fake profile, I'll delete you.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the article about the R. Kelly Twitter chat?
Oh, my God. That had me on the floor.
Oh, it was
hilarious. What happened?
I don't know.
It's on
R.
my
Kelly.
Page. You,
no.
If you're not on my page, you're not gonna be able to see it. But I gotta post it. He decided that he was gonna go on Twitter and answer questions, which was whoever his PR person is, they need to be fired. He wasn't even on Twitter for a good 10 minutes. I mean, they went in on his ass. One person was like, my niece about to graduate from the 10th grade. I think she ratty.
I I'm going to be honest with you. I love R. Kelly's music to a certain degree, but I think that at this point in his career, he probably should have just stuck to being a producer. And he would have made way more money, and it would have been less embarrassing for him to try to come out with some music. Now, don't get me wrong. His new album, which is Chocolate Something, I forget the name of it, but it's real cute. But I don't think it's going to do as good as it could possibly have done had his career not gone through the damages that it went through. Oh, the name of the city is Black Panties.
But hold on, you know, for his career to come, for his career to go through the, all that bullshit, the women and everybody still loves this man.
I mean, they love to make
Bishop. They love to make fun of that man.
Right. Look, I mean, I don't think that he's going to be able to. If he sells, I think that'll be interesting. Yeah, but I just don't think that he's going to have the success that he formerly had in the past. He should have just produced albums from a newer R&B artist. And the things that he's talking about at his age are just like, if you get into his track list, it's like, girl, what?
It's posted in the room, everybody, for those that want to take a look at it. It's posted in the room.
Did y'all hear about that fake sign of being at the Mandela funeral?
Oh, that was hilarious.
I mean, like, I'm mad nobody.
I'm out of getting a paycheck somewhere.
Like, this man throwing up gang signs and shit, and people thinking it's real fucking sign languages.
But the funny thing is, I was watching it on C-SPAN. You had him standing next to the podium, but in the left-hand corner of my screen was this little white woman in a box that was actually signing. So you look at her, and then you look at him, and I'm like, well, why are these two not matching? Something not right here.
Maybe he was doing African sign language.
Maybe he was doing South African sign language.
He wasn't, though, because the South African sign language
was
there. He wasn't. They saying it's not rounding up, and I ain't going to lie. I really believe that just the body language Michelle Obama was giving, I believe it was true. I'm sorry, media. I mean, the media going to hype it up. But, I mean, anybody saw that ceremony, everybody can know that I think something really was going on.
Right,
everybody knows that Obama is a flirt. Everybody knows that Obama likes that he's a flirt.
Right, how dare you take selfies at a funeral, though?
But that wasn't a funeral. It was a memorial service.
It was a memorial service. It was just a ceremony.
I don't think it's a big difference. I mean, you dare to represent for your country, and you sitting there next to this white woman like, yeah, selfie, click.
Maybe, hold on, you know what? Maybe she got mad because she was looking at the respect of the ceremony, and Obama and them were probably cracking a little bit of jokes. And she like, you the president, and you my husband, and you supposed to be paying attention. Let me get beside both of y'all so both of y'all won't be keep on cracking jokes and laughing.
I kind
of
agree.
You see he had to kiss her hand a couple times after that.
So I think it was like a respectful thing, like, you know, he wasn't taking it so serious, and she was trying to protect him from people looking at Obama not taking the ceremony serious. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think it was nothing between her and that woman.
The people that were sitting around them, that it was a lot of people that was annoyed with that whole situation.
They said that the security was even real relaxed at the memorial. People walk in and out without passes a lot of times without people even checking to see if they had passes.
Well, if you had it was probably somebody in the back selling bean pies.
They said they didn't even do a security check on the first people who went into the stadium. The first 1,000 people got in without a security check. They just walked in. Well, you know, that's the awesome historical respect that Nelson Mandela had, you know, and, you know, it followed through with that ceremony, you know.
Oh,
I'm glad, like I said last night, I'm glad none of them old people dropped that cash because he had a lot of old dudes carrying the cash.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, he did. Yes.
I was
right,
like,
on that,
right.
On that note, we're going to end the show, honey, because
happy holidays.
Justin, say good night.
Good night. Happy holidays. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. 443-570, you want to say good night?
Yeah, I just want to say good night and thank you guys for putting on a great show. You helped me get through the work day, so thank you very much. And have
thank
a good night.
Thank you. Shamika?
I think she got dropped.
No, I see her there. Shamika, Melissa?
Good night, everybody.
Good night, girl. Michi?
I'm still here, y'all. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Michi? Calvin?
Good night, everybody. I will talk to you guys next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Good night, Calvin. Bishop?
Good night, y'all, and happy birthday, early birthday to you, Jasmine.
Thank you, Bishop. Jason?
Good night, everyone. Have a safe weekend. Safe weekend. Be blessed. Make sure you get out and do something fun. Remember, just because something isn't happening for you right now doesn't mean it never will happen. God bless.
Thank you, Jason. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the State of Emergency Show. We'll be back Monday for the weekend recap.